Blog Talk Radio.
Show where we don't really talk much on Wednesdays. We prophesy a lot, and we love doing it. 20 to 40 people every Thursday night, sometimes more. Very seldom less than that, and we're so thankful for it. Every opportunity we get to be used by the Lord, we take it as a privilege and a glory to God and an honor for letting us, one, minister to his people. What a beautiful thing that is. I mean, literally, and we don't take it for granted, or at least we try not to. So hopefully you're here to be ministered to by the Lord Jesus through his servants, and I'm one of them. And so we want to be a servant and minister and pray for you and wash your feet and, you know, don't be like Jesus and Peter, where Peter says, Jesus, don't wash my feet. Like Peter was too good, or, you know, or, hey, I don't really need a prophetic word. I can make it on my own. Or I don't need the word of the Lord. I don't need a word from God. You know, Timothy was told by Paul the Apostle, his father, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, that he said, Timothy, he said, go back and listen to your prophecies so that you'll fight a good fight and win the battle. Right. Meditate on that. I mean, where have you ever heard that before besides here? I never have. I've been studying the Word of God for a long time. I never noticed it until, what, 2-3 years ago, something like that. And, oh, my gosh. So that takes the prophetic realm to a whole different level in the Word of God, which most people try to despise it, though I think they don't realize they're despising it, but that's what they're doing. They're despising the Word of God. Because Paul the Apostle, who knew the Word more than anybody, I think, was a person who said, you know, Timothy, you know, those prophecies, not a prophecy you get once a year, all those prophecies you've been getting, yeah, go read it. 1 Timothy 1:18. You're going to love it. You're just going to love it. And it's like, oh, I don't need the word of God. It's like, that's kind of what they're saying. You know, people saying that. I don't think anybody around here says it, but, you know, you hear that a lot. And in the realm I'm in, people have all kinds of thoughts, right? And even though we might not always understand everything, sometimes there are things that confirm what you're doing now, right? You got to understand that. Sometimes are things that confirm what you're doing now. But some things are to speak something in the future that you're not aware of. So you don't always know. People think prophecy is just telling you what you already know and confirming it to you. Well, how did you know it in the first place? How did you know it in the first place? You know, and then plus, you know, the fact is it says, let it bear witness with you. Well, what does bear witness actually really mean? You know, bearing witness with you means even though you've never heard of it, you don't know what that means. You don't know what's going on with that. It's probably a future thing, more than likely. And you're sitting there going, man, is it bad? But I don't know what that is, but that bears witness with me. That's what they said about Jesus. You know, I don't know exactly where it's at right now. I have to look it up. But you know, people said about Jesus, they said, we don't have a clue what he said. But, man, it sure was awesome. In other words, it bore witness with them. But they still didn't know, have a clue what it meant. The disciples were always asking Jesus, what does that mean, Lord? We heard you preaching it, teaching it, talking about it. You know, you think we'd understand it. We kind of acted like in front of the crowd we understood it. But, you know, can you tell us what that means? That we know it's important. And, you know, so people just don't, they really don't, we need to really understand the Word of God and look at the Word of God in a very practical sense about how we live our life today with God. They hardly ever understood anything Jesus said. Hardly ever. Most everybody walked away going, man, that was awesome. Do you know what he was trying to say? But very few times, once in a while, and we've talked about all this stuff before, where he says, they said to Jesus, now you speak plainly. Like all the other times, he really messed up or something. saying, like, Lord, you really, you know, you spoke in such riddles. We felt all riddled. We didn't get anything out of it but a riddle. You know, it's like, you know, like that was a lower class way of speaking. Oh, now you're speaking plainly to us, right? We talked about that scripture not long ago. So, yeah, so it's very, very interesting how the things that you and I, we got to learn. I mean, I'm learning stuff all the time. God's changed me. He's taken his word by the Holy Spirit, the quickening of the Holy Spirit, and he's teaching me what it really means. You know, because a lot of people say a lot of things. Like Jesus told Peter, he said, you don't savor the things of God, you savor the things of men. In other words, you have a taste for the things of men. You look to the things of men. And he was talking about things that men said about the scripture, right? He wasn't talking about what men say about fishing. He knew about fishing. He was a fisherman. And make sure and drink your water. If you guys hear me drinking my water, make sure and drink your water. Do not, please do not get dehydrated. I talk about this all the time. You're going to think you're in warfare. You're going to think the devil's like really on you, man. I'm going through such warfare. Drink a little water and call me back in an hour. And they call me back in an hour. How you doing? Oh, man, doing great. The water did it, huh? Yep. Yep, it did it. It's pretty amazing, y'all. Never forget about it. I always try to tell you the simple, basic things of life. Amen. So we don't forget. I have to remind myself. So, you know, so understanding everything that God, we have people teaching us, teachers who are, you know, good teachers and everything. They'll tell you if you don't know what they're saying, then it's not God. You know, like we're going to all of a sudden understand everything that the Word of God says and means. Half the time, people, you know, we play this little game, I think, all this stuff. Like the disciples did when Jesus told them parables, and they just sitting there going, "Hey man, teacher, yeah, teacher, oh my, yeah, that's right, you got it, yeah, we got that." You know how they do in the crowd, and then behind closed doors, they're going like, "Lord, you know, I know we were really amening you because it was so powerful, but we don't even really know what you were talking about. Can you tell us?" This is what goes on all the time with people, but they just don't want to admit it, right? Because we in front of people are going like, "Oh yes, Brother Chandler, or Pastor, Reverend, whoever it is." Prophet, yes, oh yes, amen, oh amen, we got it, and they hang the phone in all truth. They didn't get it. Now it's not that they won't get it. It's not that we don't plant the seed and water it. But listen, friend, when you plant the seed, saying amen is great. Saying yeah, I think I got it. Well, what it means I got it is you got the seed planted in you, but it still doesn't mean you understand it, right? Yeah, and that's a good thing because. It's our job to plant the word of God, whether it be prophetic word, like Paul the Apostle Timothy, he said, go back and listen to those words from God, those prophecies, and meditate on them to fight a good fight, to win the battle, so that you can win the battle. I mean, how much more stronger of a word from God can you get from the Apostle Paul to his favorite son, if you will, about how to do warfare than a prophetic word? I mean, you just can't beat it. And the thing is, but there's so much misunderstanding, but we think we have to understand it all. Why did Paul tell him to go back and meditate on it? Well, some of it was because he got, yeah, yes, amen, I know that, that's true, I understand it. And there's some things that are for the future that we don't really know what it is. But people will try to tell you these days, and I'm talking about teachers, and I listen to them, and I'm talking about really well-known teachers, that the prophetic word is supposed to just bear witness with you. If it doesn't bear witness with you, it's not from God. Bearing witness in their opinion means that you already know about it. In other words, if they're not telling you something you already know, well, that is such a bunch of hogwash because the whole Word of God is stuff that we don't really know. Now, so Paul telling Timothy to go back and listen to the words, the prophecies, well, some of it he was going to go, yeah, that's already been happening. And yeah, this is happening now. You know, some words say tell you what's going on now. Some words get talk about your past. You know, confirm some things you've been through or whatever, and then the right now, and then the future. But who knows the future? Well, hopefully it'll bear witness with you because you sure don't know about it. Nobody knows the future but God. And if some prophet is giving you some information that you don't, it doesn't necessarily, you don't really know about it, does that mean it's not from God? What's prophecy all about? The future, mostly the future. So if they're telling you the future, how are you going to know it already? You know, you can know some things about the future that God has shown you, but prophets are people, if they're truly a prophet, they're going to prophets receive first words. First words are words that nobody's heard, right? First words are people, you know, that God didn't reveal his secrets except he brings it to the prophets first, right? So whatever that really means, we know at least it means that they get it first. Right? We know it at least means that. So if the prophet gets it first and then tells it to you, then how are you supposed to go, oh, yeah, I already know that. Okay, that must be from God. No, it doesn't mean that at all. Bearing witness with you means, yeah, you know, I really don't understand that. Just like with Jesus, all this teaching, just think about Daniel and Ezekiel. Do any of y'all understand all those? Anybody understand all of them? Come on. Been around a long time. How many times you read it and you still don't got it, right? How about the book of Revelation? How many of you got that? Well, we're learning about it. Anywhere in the Bible, how many of you already know everything that that means? And the first time, how many of you read it and you get something out of it, and then the next time you read it, you get something more out of it. And then you get something more out of it and get something more out of it, right? Yeah. So people, the enemy tries to use ignorant people on, they focus on prophecy, and prophecy is something, they narrow it down to one or two things, and if it's not like that, then it's not of God. Number one is, does it bear witness with you, which means, do you already know it? Which is not in the Bible at all. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that about prophecy. Bearing witness, it does, but what does that mean? Right? So, yeah. The whole thing, y'all, the book of Daniel. Man, I read the book of Daniel all the time. I'm like, man, I wonder what that means. That's been there for thousands, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands, a few thousand years. Do you understand it? Come on, you don't. Neither do I. Things Jesus taught, they didn't understand. So the point I'm trying to make is, don't let the enemy cause you to despise prophesying, because we have some ignorant people. I don't mean stupid people. I mean ignorant people who don't know, who don't have a clue what they're talking about, don't have any much experience in it at all, maybe a little bit. And they're sitting there teaching to you, telling you what this regime is, whatnot. That's regime. I don't think we have. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know. But listen, y'all, this is really amazing. Really amazing. All right, so I don't know why I want to brief you on that, like a little briefing tonight. Listen, we've been talking about rewards. I know we've been talking about it a lot, off and on, but there's a lot of really cool things that I want to talk about it about, because if you just didn't listen to last night's show, you need to go back and listen to it, because we're talking about rewards and how that, you know, the different, I'm talking new things about it. I'm talking new things about rewards. And how that, you know, Hebrews 11, 6, I'm going to kind of go this real quick, and then I want to get into the next level of this word, if you didn't listen last night. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, listen to this. This is the faith scripture. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe. You must. Everybody say must. You must believe. What? Two things he says he must believe. That God is. Right, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Oh my God! So he's telling you, if you're not believing that God wants to reward you, if you're sitting saying, "Nah, I'm just serving God because I'm so holy and everything," I don't think no. You're doing it because we are made. I found out. I've been finding this out. We are made. God created us to be rewarded. Reward is part of what we live by. So to say we're not really looking for it is denying the very nature that God has given us. Because he says right here, he said, there's two things I want you to believe right here. When it comes to having faith, without faith, right, it is impossible to please him. And it doesn't shift to another chapter. This is the same verse. One verse, 11 verse 6. This is verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is. And here's the second thing you got to believe. You must believe this, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And we talked last night about a lot of different things. But the main thing is that we really don't have a grip on why it's important to expect reward and to come in agreement with the way God has made us as human beings to expect rewards. We're just made for that. When you're, I talked about this last night, when a little kid's learning to walk, he walks across from one side of the room to the other side, and everybody just, you know, hey, it's all right. Hey, we clap and hurrah. And that little kid doesn't even know what's going on. He's going like, man, that felt good. That felt good to be clapped for. And like, what did I do? I think I want to do it again. Because the reward made him want to do it again. It's like when you train a dog, right? Dogs are made by God. How many of you know that? The devil didn't make dogs. God made dogs, and they're very smart, by the way, in case you don't know that. And we talked about this last night a little bit. You see these trainers, they have some little bitty teeny-weeny thing in their hand, their fingers, and they tell the dog, you know, come on, do this, and that dog does it, and they go there, and they hand it this little bitty whatever it is. I don't even know what it is. It must taste really good. Because the dog gets all happy, like, yeah, okay, you want me to do that again? But you know why? Because they got rewarded. Yeah, so we are made for that. We are made. In fact, it's part of our makeup as a human being, even as a heathen. It's not a born-again nature. It's just our nature. And so we're going to get more into that in the future. But I want to move to the next level tonight. If you didn't listen last night, please go back and listen to that if you would. Because I think God wants to mainly help us open our receivers up so that we can receive the rewards without going, oh, you know, I really don't want. But false humility, God knows I've had lots of that. Pride, right? False humility. Oh, God, I really don't want the reward. I'm just doing this for you. Yeah, that sounds pretty. It sounds really great. It sounds really holy, man. Every time I've said it, and I've said it many times, I sound and feel really holy when I'm saying it. I do. I don't want to make it sound. I don't want to use my voice, a guttural voice, too much. Like, I really don't do it for the rewards. And they're going, man, he's so holy. He doesn't do it for the reward. That's fine. And when you look into all this and what I'm about to share with you tonight to add to this, you're going to see that it's we're fighting our own ability to receive the blessings of God, to do the will of God. It's not just to have a bunch of padding in our pockets to go on the side and go gamble or get drunk or go party. It has nothing to do with that. What do you do with your rewards when you get them now? If you spend them on yourself and you're really selfish with them, then I can see why you would say you're not doing it for the rewards. But if you're not some selfish little, poor little selfish person who just kind of gets extra money and runs off to get, goes to the pig pen and like the prodigal son and get, you know, whatever, then I could see why you might say that and you want to look holy when you say it. But if you take what God gives you in reward and use it for his kingdom, which is what it's for, then how can we say we don't want it when it is for the building of the kingdom of God? That's what your rewards are for, friend. And yeah, keep a little for yourself. Like we talked about last night, when Peter was told to go fishing, Jesus said, when you get the first fish you catch, Peter, you're going to get, you got to listen to this closely. Peter, you're going to catch a fish and you're going to find a coin and it's going to pay your taxes. Notice that he mentioned Peter first, and then you're going to pay my taxes. So he was saying, you're going to take care of me, Peter, through part of it, but part of it's for you. That's the way God has designed the whole thing, friend. Some of the rewards for you, some of it's for the kingdom of God, for the building of the kingdom, for the blessing of the kingdom. And mainly your ministry and mainly your calling for the most part. Now, if you're building some selfish kingdom, I can see why you would say you don't really want the reward. You at least make it look like you don't. I've said it many times. Oh, I really don't want to work. Right, but I really do. And the reason we need to say the truth is because we need to come into agreement with our very nature that God has given us. And knowing that we're gonna build the kingdom of God with what God rewards us with. Not build our own kingdoms, but build kingdoms. But it's a kingdom God has given us to build and giving us information to build. We're building. If you're buying land and property, just maybe for your family or for whatever, for the kingdom of God, maybe to have a, you know, whatever, take care of business with God, you know, and you're doing things to give to the kingdom of God. You dedicate a certain part of your property to God. You know, I tell you, God's going to bless that, man. Why? Because you're taking part of the blessings. And the rewards God bless you with by making your crops really powerful and blessing you, and you use that for the kingdom of God. Woo! Then, you know, you're going like, wow, I want the rewards. Why? Because you're building the kingdom of God. How much more money can I give to that orphanage? How much more money can I give to that revival thing or whatever, that building that being built for the kingdom of God? Man, Thank you, God, for rewards because it's helping me build the kingdom or help you expand your vision that God has given you. All right? All right. So let's look at the scripture here. I'm going to move on to the next level. For everybody listening last night, that was just a repeat. All right. Rewards are for now. All right. We're fixing to show you scripture that rewards are for now and for eternity. So we're trying to balance out the thing of I just want my rewards when I get to heaven. And we kind of leave it at that. Instead of the scripture says that God rewards us now, and reward comes from works of faith. Your salvation is free. You never work for that. You can't buy it by, you can't get it by work. You can't lose it by works. If you could lose it by works, then that means you could get it by works. So you either got it by faith or you didn't. The two grades, one or the other. All right, but your rewards do come from the works of faith. In other words, the things God's leading you and guiding you to do. All right, so we're going to talk about how that God rewards us, that those rewards are for now. So you'll quit saying what I've said many times, I'm not really looking for it now. I'm fixing to contradict that. I just recontradicted in Hebrews 11:6, where he says, you must believe that God wants to reward you. You must believe that. You've got it. In other words, it's part of your belief system. Quit saying, I don't believe it. I don't want it. Right? Randy Chandler quit doing it. Yes. Yes, sir. All right. Mark 10, we've read the scripture before. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, Lord, we have left all and followed thee. Look how Peter's talking about, you know, you think we don't want rewards? Watch Peter kick into the reward and being honest about it and being truthful. Because he hung around Jesus, and Jesus taught him about rewards, that they need to expect them, that you need to believe for them. So Peter's just kind of flowing with the flow, like he's supposed to be doing. Lord, we left, you know, all and followed thee. Verse 29 says, and Jesus answered, and watch this. This is what Jesus said about this. Truly I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren, labor, you know, works, sacrifice, you know, or sister, or brother, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. And he even gets really in the flesh. No, Jesus didn't get in the flesh. And he mentions things. How dare he mention things? Like houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, but with persecution in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and many people last that are shall be first. Y'all seeing that? Yeah. Number one, Peter is, you know, maybe we should read this whole scripture. Let's go here and read this, not the whole thing, but we're going to read it above that word. Well, the Lord is talking about some really interesting things. All right, let me go here to, we'll go to the New King James Version, Mark 10. Well, I want you to watch this, man. This is just so amazing when you get a hold of this. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to help people open their receivers. If you think you're just going to be that being greedy, if this is what we really have thought, we're greedy if we're really looking for the rewards. Oh, he's so carnal, he looks for the rewards. And yet we see Jesus and Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, in Hebrews 11:6 saying, you must believe that God is a rewarder. Rewarding everybody but you? No, and what the rewards are for, we talked about that, you know, the same night, last night, and the night before. About the rewards to build the kingdom, or for building the kingdom of God. All right. I want you to look at this. It's all for building the kingdom of God, and he wants you to expect rewards and quit saying, and I'm preaching to the choir and myself, quit thinking with that false humility and that pride, oh, I'm not doing it for the reward. Yes, we are. If Peter was doing it, he was saying, Jesus, but we've left everything and followed you. What's he trying to say? I'm going to show you. Watch this. Let's go up above that a few in verse 23. With God, all things are possible. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard is it for those who have riches, because he's fixing to nail this thing, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. We're going to talk about that sometime. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches, to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? In other words, you know, like everybody's motives are wrong. Everybody trusts in riches. Like, that's what he said. He said, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven if you trust in riches. If you trust in them, not have them, but trust in them. They were greatly amazed at this. Who can be saved? Verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God, for all things are possible with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, Lord, watch this. He said, Jesus says, he looked at them and he said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter really messed up, says to him, see, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. In other words, we've really sacrificed. What do we get? What's going to go on with us? What's going on with us? And Jesus said unto him, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house. Where he goes with this? To rewards. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now. Uh-oh, there goes our false humility. There goes that lying devil that tells us. I rebuke that devil off of me in Jesus' name to keep me from receiving my rewards so I can move forward with God. Yeah, who shall receive 100-fold now in this time? Houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and land with persecution. He said, yes, but at least Jesus told the truth. It's going to come with persecution. 100-fold is going to come with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. Yep, there you go. Eternal life, a reward. Reward, eternal life. Of course we're thinking about that. Of course. But people try to take away the other part and just, oh, I'm just in. Just, you know, we would never be as arrogant as Peter and say, well, what about us, Lord? We've left everything. What are we going to get? And Jesus wouldn't have said this if he was not answering the question that Peter was saying, but what's going to happen with us? What are we going to get? Where's our reward? Because Peter said to them, verse 28, see, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. We've left everything and followed you. Amen. People are sending me text. I want to read those in here in just a second. Thank you for that. If we get stirred up, I'll tell you, friend, this is the enemy has lied to us long enough, including me, where we actually come boldly. If we're not coming boldly to the throne of God, and just like, look at, I love Peter, man. He's saying, Lord, we left everything and followed you. Oh, that selfish little brat. Is that what Jesus said? He said, now, assuredly, Peter, I say to you that you have not, no one has left house or home or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, who shall not receive 100-fold now, my God, in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. With persecution, of course. Don't forget that part. Now, if you can't handle, we talked about this a few weeks ago. If you can't handle persecution, then you're not going to walk in 100-fold. Right? So try to adjust if you can. And quit saying, I'll be like I used to say all the time. God taught me one day. I said, one day I was driving down the road. Man, I can't wait to get out of this one. The Lord says, Randy, I'm not trying to get you out of it. I'm trying to get you through it. And I understood for the first time, he was trying to teach me in my struggles. He's taking me through the valley of the shadow of death so I can learn to not fear evil or death and grow and learn. Instead, I'm wanting to get out of it, going around the mountain again and again and again. He said, don't be like them, Randy. Change or repent. You see what I'm saying? This is talking about rewards. And what did he say? What did Jesus say? I just read it just a second ago. Hebrews 11:6. He says, without faith, this is one of the most popular scriptures that I know about. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But most people don't read the rest of it. This is all the same scripture. Verse 6, one verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him, friend. Come on. Wake up, Randy Chandler and body of Christ. Let's come alive. What do you say? You start saying, God, I want rewards. Now, if you're a selfish little stingy little brat, you know, which I don't know anybody like that. Thank God. Right? Then, of course, you know, I could see your hypocritical little funky buttocks talking to God, going, God, you know, I really know I'm selfish, and you surely know I'm really selfish, so I I'm not going to do this for you for just the reward in my selfish little selfish self. So, you know, I don't want to do it for that. So every time I say that now, that's what I think about. So I must be a really selfish little brat, right? I must be a selfish little piggy pigging out on all my stuff for me to say that. Now that I'm getting it, I mean, you know, I didn't realize I was exposing myself in such a horrible way. Till the Lord opens up my eyes. Thank God my eyes are getting open. Hopefully yours are too. Yeah? Isn't that cool? Are y'all loving this or what? I'm just loving this. All right. So Robin and Keith, our friend, says, agree, Prophet Randy, Jesus' parable about the talents, he took the talent from the one, good point, who buried his talent and gave it to the one who had multiplied his talent. In other words, he rewarded him. Good thinking. You know, Robin, I had not even thought about that one. That's really good. Woo! Hallelujah, man. Are y'all getting this with me tonight? I mean, this is changing my life. This is changing the way I think. This is changing the way I do things. I'm talking about me. God, it's kind of like the Lord hasn't really said this to me, but it's kind of like the Lord saying, you see now, Randy, why you haven't been as blessed as I want to bless you? Because I want to bless you a lot more, but you don't even understand how to receive the reward because you're sitting there going, I don't really want the reward. I'm not doing it for the reward. Friend, that's what we're doing it for, is the reward. I don't know. What are you doing yours for? Now, when you think about it, what was Peter doing it for? He said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. What did Jesus say? You selfish little brat. You little hypocrite. No, Peter, his God-given nature was asking Jesus a God-given question from the Holy Ghost. And he said, you know, but Lord, you know, we have left everything and followed you. Because he's talking about being wealthy. Right above it, he's talking about the wealthy, you know, and riches. And Jesus taught them. I think, now I'm going to tell you what I personally think. We can't prove it. But I think Jesus was an extremely wealthy person, not because he made money off making furniture, but when he got into his calling, all those people that were going to pay him, like the woman who had the issue of blood, who paid all of her money, how much money did she have? We don't know, but it might have been a lot. If she could have met Jesus about halfway through that and saved about half of her life's earnings and pay or whatever she got, and she said, Lord, you know, I want to give this to you because I'm going to spend it on doctors anyway, and give him thousands upon thousands of dollars and multiply that with so many people being healed and delivered. And not having to go to doctors anymore and pay doctor bills. She was just one example of telling us that she was paying lots of doctor bills. She spent all of her living on doctor bills, y'all. Y'all seeing that? And Jesus, you think those people, they think those people were a bunch of selfish little brats? I don't think so. I think they were grateful, wonderful, God, Jesus loving. The fact that Jesus didn't sell his books and didn't and ran the people out of the temple that did. I'm sorry. Y'all know I had to hit that in there, right? Y'all think because Jesus didn't sell anything, he gave everything away for God to love the world, that he gave his son, and everything that concerns his son should be given away as far as the word of God? Should be given away. And it'll cause blessings to come. Yeah. And I mean that literally. It's all going to change, friend. It's all going to change. I heard Andrew Womack talking to that yesterday. I listen to all where Andrew Womack gets. I don't listen to him all the time. Everyone's probably listening. He's a really great teacher and a great man of God. He was saying, he was talking about how he met some man of God. He was having dinner with some man of God, a well-known man of God. He said one of the largest ministries. So whoever that was, having dinner with him, said he and was saying this publicly on TV yesterday. Some of you might have seen it. Andrew Womack, you know who Andrew Womack is. He's saying, yeah, I have a dinner with this man of God. He doesn't give away anything. He even said, he said, this guy doesn't give away anything. And Andrew was telling him, yeah, I've heard giving away books more and more and more all the time, giving away books. He said, I've given away millions of dollars worth of books. And he said this. He said, and the man of God, the other man of God, said to him, like, in shock, how are you doing that? How are you doing that? And Andrew Womack said, God just blesses. I don't even understand how it's working. Friend, this is the parable. When I heard what Andrew Womack say that, I mean, I already liked Andrew Womack, loved Andrew Womack, but I gained a little bit more respect for him, though he's still a merchandiser. By hearing him say that and then telling another man of God that just like the loaves and the fishes multiplied, and when the apostles gave the bread that Jesus gave them, they gave that bread out. They didn't sell it. They gave it out. And when they gave it out, and then they went back and gathered up what was left, it's like going to some feeding place, and they put out all the food on the tables, and whatever you don't eat, they just pick it up and take it back to the kitchen, right? It's not like the people are giving back the food, right? It was never theirs. They were just being served, like at a kitchen where you go and you get free food. So when they get through, you do all this. Yeah, we do. You're full. Yeah, full. And picking up all this. Had 12 baskets full. And the apostles walked back with, we got 12 baskets full. How did that happen? That's what Andrew Womack was telling this guy. And this is he didn't say his name. I wish he would have. I really wished he would have. Not to criticize, but and this guy looked at him in shock, like, I don't know how you do that. He said this on public television yesterday, that this preacher started giving away a little bit. So, friend, something's going on with it. Something's happening with this. We have been pounding away at this for a long time, pioneering this thing on a very confrontive. We've been very confrontive about it. And believe me, it is making headway. And we are about to enter into a zone of harvest because we have stuck to our guns with this and tried to do it in love without condemning them and telling them they're going to hell and all that, which I would never say that unless they're not born again, and try to be faithful and just and work. So you see, and God giving us this information about the reward system of God and how that we are made. You and I have been made by God to expect rewards. Human beings are made to expect rewards. And yet we try to act like, no, you know, it's like that dog saying, "No, I don't really want that reward." They try, you know, when they're training the dog to do something, they reward him with those little nitpicks or whatever they got, those little whatever. I don't know what they put in there, give them, but this little bitty, you can hardly see it, and they stick it in their mouth, and the dog goes, "Oh man, that's so good. Yeah, you want me to do that again for you? You want me to do that again for you?" You know why? Because they understand that dog is saying, "Yeah, I'm doing this for the reward, but I love doing it. I love doing it, but I'm doing it for the reward. The reward motivates me." The reward activates me. And friend, as soon as we quit being hypocritical about this and be real with God about it, we're going to activate a drawing power of the Holy Ghost to move into a place of the riches of the kingdom of God. Are some people going to take advantage of it and use it for themselves? I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. I pray I'm not one of them. I pray that you're not one of them. But who's going to worry about that when we got God saying, I want you to understand I made you to expect to be rewarded. It's built in you. And you see it with Peter right here. Oh, Peter just, he just said, man, they've been hanging around with Jesus long enough. They were just unashamedly, they had been set free of their fear. Peter didn't say like you and I said, oh, Jesus, we've been following you and giving up everything for you, Jesus. But, you know, no big deal. We're not really expecting anything. No. When you hang around Jesus, the real God-given desires and passions start coming out of you, and you start asking Jesus real questions, and Jesus starts giving you real answers instead of this phony bunch of hypocritical nonsense that I've lived in, that you've lived in, some of you, most of you. And we're changing, friend. Peter came right out and said in verse 28, see, Lord, we have left all and followed you. And then the answer Jesus gave him, as I've already read several times, but I'm going to read it again, so just get used to it. Okay? And just try to love it. Why would Jesus say, oh, but I'm going to reward you with houses, homes, anybody who leaves? Peter, here's the answer to this. If you left houses, homes, mother, sister, he said, I'm going to reward you with 100-fold. And you're going to receive 100-fold. You shall not receive 100-fold now. Now. Everybody say now. Let that thing, let this now word wash out that hypocrisy, that lie. Oh, I'm really doing it for this. Peter, this is all in the word. And Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus didn't say, oh, you selfish little brat. Oh, you did it for the reward. No, he understood. I made you, Peter, to expect rewards. And now I'm nurturing you that you do it for the kingdom of God. He said, he who leaves mother and father for my sake and the gospel's sake. That's the motivation. He specifically says, if you leave mother, father, land, children for my sake and for the gospel, that you shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land. What is that? That's all be fruitful and multiply and have lots of mothers, lots of mothers, sisters, brothers, lots of houses, lots of children, lots of land, persecution, and use it for the glory of God for the millennial to come. And in the age to come, eternal life. Of course eternal life is in there in the rewards of all that. Of course. That's what we really, oh, yes, I'm just for the age to come and eternal life. My rewards are coming. Oh, yes, just for eternal life, that's all I really want. Well, that's not what Jesus said, but I think we need to change the way we look at things. Let's try to do that. I know I get really strong about this, because I feel strong about it, okay? I'm one of those kind of people, okay? God using me to break, shatter things. Yeah, I'm like a bull in a china closet. Maybe I shouldn't say China right now. I'm like a bull in a... and a U.S. closet. Yeah. But many who are first shall be last shall be first. Many who are first will be last, and the last first. There it is, y'all. That's what I told you I was going to get you. I hope you enjoyed it. That's it for tonight. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for hearing the word of God. Thanks for letting God change you. Thanks for letting God change us. Amen. Thank you, Robin, for that, that scripture. I love that. That's really awesome. All right, really cool. All right, so let's get ready to take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. We are tonight, is Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, we don't spend time talking to people. We get your first name, what state you're from, and then we go from caller to caller to caller. Doing that all night long. We do not spend any time talking. We don't do anything, but just that's all we're focusing on, period, right? It's that. If you have an emergency request, then you can do that. I'm getting excited, y'all. I think we're getting ready for a harvest. I mean, a harvest of souls, the harvest of miracles, a harvest of blessing and wealth for the kingdom of God. Now, if you start using it for something else, If God bless you and you start changing it for your selfish little self, then we're going to understand why you said, oh, God, I'm not doing it for the reward. You selfish little brat. God's going to change you, man. I don't know of any selfish brats here on PGN. I don't know any. We're all generous, God-fearing. You know, we want to do what God says, right? All right. Amen. Robin says amen. All right. Thank you. I got an amen. I got an amen. Thank you. I know you guys are amening me out there. I know you. And I appreciate it. All right. So let's take our callers. So let me repeat one more time. I'm going to say your number. I'm going to come on, and you're going to say, my name is Billy from New York. That's all I need to know. Unless you have a very special quick request, then you can do that. Carmen says amen. I got two amens that are manifesting. All right. Thank you. Amen. You know, and so I'm just telling you all this because God's preaching this stuff to me, right? He's preaching this stuff to me. He's trying to wake me up. And then when I'm being woke up, if you guys are asleep with this, we're going to wake you up too. All right. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to really be awesome. We're going to really wake up. And all together, isn't that beautiful? We're just, it's not like I already know everything and I'm just kind of bothering you and sharing it with you. No, I'm learning and growing. And as I'm learning and growing, I'm just feeding y'all what God is feeding me. And I feel like I'm going someplace big. I mean, and how can I go somewhere big if I got my receiver shut off in an area, right? How can I do that? I can't. So what's God doing? He's fixing that. God is quite a little fixer. Yes, he is. And I love him for it because I need a lot of fixing for sure. No doubt about it. All right. Thanks for being with us. Let's take our first caller. Remember, even if I know who you are, I know your number, you've been called in 1,000 times. Our friends already know all this, but I'm repeating it. So in case somebody had called in a while, you know who this is. I've had people say, you don't know who this is? This is yeah. That's just kind of what we do Wednesdays. That way, everybody gets an idea of where you're from. If you're from New York or Ireland or, you know, Texas, you know, California, wherever you're from. That way, kind of people get an idea of where you're calling from and where you're at. Kind of just, you know, it's just kind of the way we do it. So thank you for that. All right, 662-806, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hey, Cynthia. All right, Cynthia, who used to be from New York, and also I think used to be from Texas before that. I can't remember if he was Texas. All right, anyway, Cynthia from, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for unlocking the hallelujahs in her step. You're going to start stepping. Like sometimes we step in, you know what, but sometimes, you know, and because we all do that at times in our life. But I see you stepping in some hallelujahs, which is a really weird thought that I had go through my head when I heard it. Like I saw you stepping into hallelujahs, stepping into it. Like, oh, you know, you're walking along in the grass and some dog been out there, you know, and you step in. Oh, God, I've got to work my shoe off now. You know, instead of stepping in that, which is great fertilizer, by the way, you're stepping in hallelujahs, you know. It's something good, something glorious, something that creates a wonderful smell. There you go. That's a good way to look at it. You know, the bad smell, the other thing creates like stepping a hallelujah. It's like instead of this bad smell, out comes this beautiful aroma of hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Right? Something like that. Yeah, I just stepped in a big pile of hallelujah. Oh, man, this is awesome. You know, and I'm trying to get the nature of this word. It's like I get some really odd words sometimes. It's like, you know, it's like, thank God in my front yard I haven't stepped in any of that in a while that I know of. Because usually if you do, people, you know, you can tell because people start going, like, you smell that? Smell what? And you look on the bottom of your shoe. Yeah, there you go. But now it's like, you know, so stepping into it means you kind of like didn't know it was there. But you're walking out in your yard and you step into it. It's like stepping into a hallelujah. You didn't even know you were stepping into it, right? It's like somebody starts smelling the hallelujah. It's like, you smell that beautiful smell. What is that, Cynthia? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Right? Stepping into hallelujah. What a way to start tonight. What a way to start tonight. Like a surprised little element of out walking around, and you step into it. Like you, you know, like we step into a new breakthrough. We step into, like when they put their foot into the Jordan River and they stepped into it and it opened up, you know, you step into it like you, like you're stepping into the hallelujah. Amen. Stepping into it, like putting your foot, it's about your, because what I saw was about your feet, about your foot stepping into something, but it was a hallelujah, not anything you know, smelly, bad smelly, but good smelly. Like, you know, in the temple, tabernacle, when they, you know, the altar of incense, they just created this amazing smell of aroma, just like, whoa, like when the woman who broke the alabaster box, I mean, and anointed Jesus' feet, whoa, anointed Jesus' feet where he stepped into some amazing smell, hallelujah, when he touched her life, when he touched that life, Mary's life, he stepped into a hallelujah, man. Sometimes we step in people's lives and we step into a pile of it and it smells of everything, right? God knows we've all done that. But when Jesus stepped into Mary's life, he stepped into a hallelujah smell that was amazing, that filled the room with richness and glory. Hallelujah. How do I live without the word of the Lord? I don't know, but it's so amazing. Stepping in, Cynthia. Step on in. Yeah. It's almost like, in a sense, you didn't realize it was out there, you know, in the yard. That was the symbol, everything it had to do with being out there in the yard. Nobody's going to step into a pile of dog stuff on purpose. Well, man, oh, yeah, there it is. Let me step into it early. No, I'm going to step into it first. Let me get it. No, everybody's trying to avoid that. In fact, you're kind of looking for it. But when you look up in the trees for whatever in the sky and you keep walking and you step right into it. But this is talking about stepping into a hallelujah. Sing the praises of God. All right, 325-280. I'm going to talk to you real time, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, Chris. You know, Chris, I have to say, bro, you know, when I was going through this message tonight, you know, I thought about you a lot. I'm going like, God, what are you saying to Chris? I mean, during the message, I'm thinking that, you know, you're preaching and I'm laughing, having fun, I'm enjoying myself, and I'm getting serious and getting crazy, and the whole time I'm going, you know. I wonder what Chris is thinking about this. I feel like Chris, this is for Chris. I feel like this, you know, like this. Not that it's not for everybody, it's not for everybody, but it's like, I think about you and I think about that a lot, you know, tonight. And I just feel an anointing on that God is trying to really get that into your thinking. The word is for all of us tonight. But just think about that. Mark 10 and Hebrews 11. 6, man, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many times have we read that without realizing that God said we must believe that he is a rewarder? In other words, I'm going to quit saying, God, you know, I'm doing it for the reward. We need to shift on over and sound selfish, if you will, to some people, because they're not going to understand. Next time somebody asks me, what are you doing it for, Randy? The rewards. They're going to go, what? Yeah, you know, like Peter did, you know, and Mark, and Mark 10. What do you mean what Peter did? Yeah, I'm going to quote Peter. Peter says, well, Lord, we left everything for you. And Jesus' answer was the hundredfold. Woo! Hallelujah. Hundredfold, brother. Just say it. Hundredfold. I'm in it for the hundredfold. Yeah, the persecution's going to come, and I'm learning how to handle persecution, Chris says. God says, because, you know, the world's going to hate you. Why does the world hate? Why is the devil going to persecute the hundredfold people, Chris? Because they're coming to take it all back as much as we can until Jesus comes back and, of course, finishes the whole thing off himself. Hallelujah. That's our job. We're supposed to pursue the kingdom until he comes. Until he comes. Right? Are you doing the will of God, buying all that land, buying new houses? Are you sure that that's not being selfish and greedy? I mean, those houses are just going to burn up in the tribulation, and we're going to be, you know, well, that's not going to be worth it. Are you sure you're not supposed to drop everything and go win people to Jesus? And you're going to say, I didn't hear Chris saying, after he learns all this and gets into his spirit, and all of us, by the way, going like, no, man, God told me to do that. This is for the millennium. You know, and what we do for God is not going to be burned up. That's what the scripture says. It's not going to be burned up with fire. And the scripture even says that the ones that who are Christians and are not doing the will of God, that everything they do is going to be burned up except them. They will be saved by the fire. So it tells you there's two groups of people, Christopher, that there's people who are Christians who are going to be saved by the fire, and everything they have and done is going to be, if it was in the flesh, and they did it for themselves instead of for the gospel and for the kingdom of God, that's all going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. Right? Those are Christians. It said they will be saved by fire. That's 1 Corinthians. Somewhere I taught on it a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago. But those who have done the will of God, it's going to go right into the millennium because it's not going to be burned up. The fire will not touch it. So when they say, you know, if you knew Jesus was coming back next month, what would you change? Well, I'm sure I can make some adjustments, but, you know, hopefully I'll be able to say absolutely nothing. Well, what about all them houses and homes and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and things that just – seem to be, you know, that's all you think about. Oh, no, it's not all I think about. No, what I think about, Chris says, is the kingdom of God and the gospel. And because I'm thinking about that, God just says, I'm going to add all that to you. So you want to tell me to tell God not to give me the rewards? Oh, you're doing it for the rewards, they're going to say? And you're going to say, yeah, exactly. They're going to go, I don't know who's teaching you, but this sure is not the Bible, that's for sure. Chris is going to tell them, they're real peaceful, calm looking, yeah, that's what I thought too. But I was wrong, and Jesus is right, and Peter was right, and you'll get it. Just hang in there, or hang around me. Follow me as I follow the Lord, because he'll be adding to you. And when he comes back, all those houses and homes and lands and mothers and sisters and brothers and all that gets added to you and God bless you with, you know, it's just going to be like part of a millennium. So you got a problem with that? Yeah, no, they got no problem with it. It's second nature for you, bro. That's what God's making it, first nature. It's like natural. It's like, you know, you know why, Chris? You know why Jesus just blowed people's minds? Because he taught on stuff that I'm talking about right here. I'm just talking about what he's talking about. Just think about what all they thought about it. When you think our religious community, you know, the first time I ever, when God told me, he said, it is years ago, he said, Randy, I want you to start praying to work less and make more. I want that to be your prayer. Remember that? I probably thought, I'm going, okay, Lord. So privately I'm doing it. Yeah, I choked it out. Okay, I want my working hard spirit, right, says choke it. I want to work less and make more. Jesus, help me pray it. You know, and then after more I said it, the more free it got. And then I'm in this prayer meeting. Honestly, God, I'm in this prayer meeting with a bunch of men, you know, God-fearing, powerful, wonderful, everyday men of God. And we're in a prayer meeting. They said, and we're all praying, right? What asking prayer requests? And it was getting close to me, right? And I'm going like, okay, what do I want to pray for? The Lord says to me, Chris. He says, tell them that you want to pray to work less and make more. And I, honest to God, I was like going, I am not going to do that. I will not do that because that's going to make me look bad. See, make me look bad. Like that man, suck up, man-pleasing thing trying to rise up in me, right? And the Lord says, just pray it. Just ask him. So I did. And the guy, I knew the guy well. That was, he was the head deacon. He was the head, you know, everything. And he said, okay, Mr. Shannon, what do you want? Brother Shannon, I said, well, I want to work less and make more. And this guy's a working hard, workaholic kind of guy, you know. And he looked at me, and honest guy, I was totally shocked, Chris. He said, he looked at me, and he kind of just didn't know what to say. He kind of giggled. Like, he burst out. He said, man, that's a pretty good prayer. And I was, like, totally shocked. I went, okay, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That actually happened to me. It actually did. And it's the whole thing we're talking about now, Chris, the whole thing. God began to change the way I think. And, man, I choked my way through it. It was like, you know, it's one thing to do it privately, right? Once I choked that out a few times before I could say it without choking. So for my pride and my self-sufficiency spirit, like Peter, like I'll never deny you, and his self-sufficiency spirit denied him right away. You know, all that stuff, man, as a God-fearing, Jesus-loving person as I was and am, that all the issues that I had, man, God says, come on, Chandler, just do what I say. She said, I only do what I see my Father. Well, I was seeing the Father. What was I seeing? I was seeing, pray that prayer and do it publicly. Tell him that's what you want. You know what it did? It planted a seed in about 30, 40 men, maybe 50, I remember exactly. And they all kind of like went. I'm not sure what all of them went. I was just looking at the guy who asked me, right? Because I knew he's going to go like, oh, God, I should have never asked him. I knew better than to ask him. I almost skipped him, but I didn't. So the embarrassment to our men's prayer group, Mr. Brother Chandler over here, just said he wants to work less and make more. But that's not what happened. I mean, he just kind of giggled out loud, kind of shot with a glow on his face and said, man, that's a pretty good prayer. I think he said, I wish I'd have been praying that. And he did. He did. And these were like, you know, anyway, a bunch of Assembly of Gods. I'm thinking of Assembly of Gods at that time. And it was like, wow. So this is part of what you're going to experience. And they're going to follow you. People are going to follow you. They're just like that night, that day when he asked me that question, they all followed. Or not all of them, you know, he did, and then because he was a leader, and he said, man, that's pretty cool. I think everybody kind of went, if he says it's cool, then it must be cool because he knows, and he's a head deacon, he's a head elder, he's a whatever he was a head something, and just ran things, and he's like going, everybody's got on, yeah. Yeah, and that's your job, man. Yeah, give him something to think about. All right. 478-233, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Janice from Georgia.
Hi, Janice. Not Janice, not Abby. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for blessing my sister, God. I thank you for the glory of God on her. I thank you for the anointing to recover all of her life in the name of Jesus, that God doesn't want you to feel guilty about recovering it all and recovering it all God's way for what it comes when it's recovered. People are grateful. People are thankful. Like when David, King David, well, he wasn't king at the time, but when David went to the priest, he said, you know, because they just robbed his camp, took his wife, took all his guys' wives and children, robbed the camp. And he goes to the priest, says, should we take it? And he says, priest says, the Urim and Thummim, and the Urim and Thummim said, go get it. But David says, yeah. And he went and recovered it all. You know what? Janice, in Jesus' name, I loosen that on you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is saying to you, go and recover it all. Recover it all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And then God's going to let you throw away the bad and keep the good. Amen. Just like when they say when you go fishing, you know, the harvest is, you know, throw away the bad fish, keep the good one. Amen. Of course, you know, the good things, the God things. Amen. Those that don't want God's things, you can throw them back into the sea of forgetfulness and let them move on their own way if that's what they want to do for now. Yeah. To recover it all, God, in Jesus' name, recover it all. in Jesus' name. Bless her with that that spirit of recovering it all. Not some of it, not most of it, all of it. And then when David went, he recovered even extra. May God have you recover even extra in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 769-220, who I want to talk to you from, please?
It's Andrika in Georgia.
Hey, Andrika. All right, Andrika, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that place of the quickening word of God, of the life quickening word, God. In Jesus' name. Greg is sending me something here and also some other people. I'm going to read that here in a minute. It's stirring it up. It's being stirred up, Andrika. It's being stirred up. God's going to give you life quickening information. See, the thing about these golden nuggets that God's given us through the Spirit of Revelation, that I don't have a clue about them until God shows me, right? I'm thinking something completely different, as I admit. And then when God gives them, it becomes life-quickening information for me. Why, Andrika? Why has God called you to be a part of this? I'm sure you're a part of other things too, you know whatever. The point is that God has had you, connected to this place because he's going to use you to transform you into your thinking and to bring you into a place to where, that the life-quickening revelation of God gets in your mind, and all of a sudden you become so transformed that you don't even struggle with, does God want to really bless me in every way? And I say in every way, I mean in every way. He wants to make, when you eat food, why am I going through that? He wants to make it when you eat food, Andrika, that it's the best food in town, even if it's something you barbecued on the back. Like, man, I don't know what's going on. This chicken, this steak, whatever you eat, this fish, it's the best. I mean, I don't know what's going on. It's because your taste buds are being quickened, my God, to taste the good in things. Hallelujah. To be able to eat something, go, man, I can taste the good in this thing. When other people can't taste it again, it's like your taste buds become so sensitive to everything that God has put into that food, to that, whatever it is, where you're eating cabbage or you know, whatever you're eating. I can't get any other foods right now. Whether you're eating a nice salad or having some, you know, Holy Ghost ice cream, you know, God forbid, help us, that it's like your taste buds just, I mean, it's like, what is going on? And not only do you enjoy the taste of things, because this life-quickening power for you to taste of the word. And so when you taste of the word, you're going to go, man, I don't know. Is it just me over here? Is this just me over here? Am I the only one that's really just like getting this food that Chandler's putting out through Jesus and the Holy Ghost is so dadgum rich. It's so dadgum awesome. I'm like going, my God. You know, this is the best food in town. I say amen to that one. I'm just prophesying, girl. That's all I'm doing. And then Drake is going, my God, I mean, this is like, and mainly it's not necessarily that only, though I would take, you know, give Jesus all the glory for that. But it's because your taste buds are able to taste things out of the word of God that you've never gotten before. And because you are, it's like something in you is like going, man. Like your understanding goes from glory to glory to glory to glory to where it opens up the realm of the blessings of God and the covenant of God and what Christ paid for on the cross of Calvary. When you take communion, it's like you're eating gold, like the most precious gold of all, because his body is so rich. His body is so rich because his body and his blood, and when you drink his blood, it's like you can taste the richness of Jesus' blood. Because that rich blood is what paid for something that nothing else could pay for. Hallelujah. Some people take communion. You know, you have people say, taste, they go to the best restaurant. You take them to the best restaurant in town. Man, this restaurant's the best restaurant in town. You take them to the restaurant, you know, and they're not used to that stuff, right? And they go in there, yeah, it's pretty good. You're going like, man, there's something wrong with you, boyfriend. You got some issues. You got some taste bud problem. Because this food here, it's the best food in town. And you're sitting there going, yeah, it's not bad. You know, it's excellent. You know why? Because their taste buds are not alive to value something and to appreciate something and to get the glory out of a thing that where there's glory in it, to get the glory out of it. And when it comes to, you know, our favorite subject, which is tasting of taste and see, to taste and see that the Lord is good, that his word is good. Oh, my God. Did you hear that? Oh, did you hear that? You've been listening to somebody else. God forbid you listen to me. Listen to somebody on TV. Listen to some of the preachers, some teachers on TED, some of your favorite teachers, whoever they are. And you start listening to them. You go, man, I don't know what happened. This person really, they must have really had a breakthrough. Because all of a sudden, their food tastes really good. What is it? Is it me? Am I the only one? What's going on? Yeah. Well, that's not that you're the only one. But it's like if something's happening inside you. And God is quickening your taste buds to taste and see. Because when you start tasting, here's the life-quickening power. Because now when you taste the word of God, oh, you start seeing it, girlfriend. My God. I just call you girlfriend. I think I just did. Tell Chris, I didn't mean it. I tell Julie, I didn't mean that. You know what I mean. Anyway, kids. Yeah. My God. Woo! Jesus. Man, whoa! My God. My God. No wonder he's saying you're going to be the head and not the tail. Because it's the way you're tasting the word. He's quickening your taste bud, girl. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, yeah, there you go. All right, 111. Hello, who are you there? Are you there? 111? 111! Wake up! We love you! some people have to work late, you know? I don't know who that is. But I think I know this, but it doesn't really matter. I don't prophesy of people who they are, you know? Anyway, so thank you, Jesus, for my friend tonight, God, that believes for the healing of the nations. You know, there's something about the healing virtue that's going on right now. There's something, 111, about the healing virtue of Christ, the power of the glory of what, you know, because trees are what they are, come from the seed that was planted. So there's a good seed, 111, you know, if it's a good seed, when the seed is good, then it grows up a good tree and it produces good fruit. And then the leaves, every part of a good tree, I think the trees in the Garden of Eden, you know, I don't understand this, so I wasn't there, but I have this knowing in my spirit that the leaves, to every part of a tree in the garden before the curse came, every part, the bark of the tree, the stems, it's the stems, the branches, the leaves, the sap, whatever it was in it, in the tree, and it was for healing, for one kind of healing or the other. In the leaves, yes, in the leaves, for the healing of the nation. Hallelujah, God! I just loosen that healing virtue in my friend tonight, God. 111. I just release that healing virtue to conquer death, that people will eat of the body of Jesus, and eat his word, and drink his blood, and partake of his covenant, life-giving blood, which has no sin in it, which washes away every sin, cleanses us from all iniquities, all infirmities, all diseases, all sicknesses. Amen. In Jesus' name, brings healing, healing, God, healing, healing through my sister, healing, 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 healing. Amen. And I see you having to sometimes, you know, like somebody having a hard time being healed or something, so you have to kind of like bust the scab open and pour, you know, stuff in it, because there's an infection underneath the scab. So you have to, and it sounds really horrible, doesn't it? The image of that is really horrible. But in other words, to save them, they've got that scab, they got a scab on it, but it's like it's not healing right, so you have to bust it open and cleanse it, and it's painful at the same time, yet it saves their life. I see you doing that with a lot of people. Well, they've got a lot of things hidden underneath and have not been able to get them cleansed out of their life. And I see God really using you to help cleanse them and heal them. Amen. All right. 972-695. You want to talk to the refund, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, the resurrection people. All right. Talk to Terrence, I think, was it Monday night? Yeah. And Tanisha, I don't know how you slept through that. I don't know if you slept it or not, but maybe part of it. But it looked like really cool because we went on for a little while. But I'm telling you, man, something is stirred up. Something's stirred up. And it's like I see like an earthquake coming in a sense. I don't know, a real earthquake, but I don't know what that is, an earthquake. And I see things being shaken. And anything, Tanisha, that can be shaken will be shaken. So in other words, you know, one of the good things about earthquakes is that it shows what buildings were not built correctly, because now they build buildings that can handle quite a shock. And things, God is building things for, you know, like now in the kingdom of God, when we build, if we don't build correctly, when the shakings come, it's like with earthquakes. Things they fall apart. People die, right? But if a building is built correctly and built knowing that there's going to be shakings coming, which they do that in California and other places, they literally, in fact, do a lot of experimenting on how to make those buildings where, you know, they can take a pretty heavy dose of shaking. And it may crack a wall or something, but it doesn't fall apart. And so I said, God, so this whole thought process I saw with you is like I saw, you know, cracks happening. So the people, but it's systems, people, religion, financial system, you know, all kinds of systems, all kinds of people that believe in systems, religious systems, and even good God-fearing Christians who have things that are not perfect. But God is wants to use you to build people's lives to where they understand. We're not gonna be telling them lies, right, girl? We're not gonna be saying, "Oh, everything's always gonna be so fine. You might have a little trouble, but don't worry about it. It won't be too bad." Are you kidding me? No. You know what? We're gonna help build their buildings, build their lives, where they're ready for a shaking. So when a shaking comes, they're not sitting there and they're totally shocked. Maybe surprised. Everybody's surprised when earthquake happens, but totally shocked. You know, and then their life just falls apart, at least for a while. Maybe they if they're truly born again, they could build back up later. But to, you know, build within people this understanding that you could be shaken, and tell them the truth, you could be, and we don't know for sure, but you could be shaken really like a 9.9 earthquake in your life. It could come. And God wants to build you because you know what? What can be shaken will be shaken. But when God builds it, girl, it ain't going to be shaken. It's not going to fall apart because we're building it on the rock. Hallelujah. And the amazing thing is that, in a sense, the judgment of God on systems that appear good, that look good, and people that are, you know, built their house on something that literally looked nice, got a good deal on it. But when the shaking comes, their whole life falls apart and floats off into the ocean. Why? Because they didn't, you know, yeah. So God is doing this whole thing of thinking ahead. When they're building the building, okay, we've only had 7-point earthquakes here. But we know in the future we could have 9, 10-point powerful earthquakes. So we're going to build these buildings in Christ, these lives, that they can handle shaking so that we can feel secure that not only are we not going to fall apart, be shaken a little bit, move around a little bit, yeah. Fall apart, crash in, die, no. Hallelujah. Building building lives, building home, building our finances, building our whole life, Tanisha, on the rock, Christ Jesus. Because knowing that the shakings are going to come, the earthquakes are going to, everything that can be, and that's the thing about the book of Revelation, sort of about the end of the end time. Like one of the scriptures talks about, you know, the earthquake that's going to shake, like, I think, Israel, Jerusalem. It's going to, like, kill, you know, thousands and thousands of people. It's going to shake the whole place. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to be a big shaker, right? And everything that's not built on Christ Jesus, it's going to fall apart. People are going to die by the thousands, it says. Well, this is a good example of what I'm saying. So thank you, Jesus, that not only are we helping other people, but we're going to help people build with what we have built, build our lives on the incorruptible word of the living God, not being a man pleaser, and every time something goes wrong, we take off running, but to be tenacious and stand still and see the salvation of God. Yeah. And be an example, Tanisha, you and Terrence, be an example of the shakings. And people come to your house, see how your life is, going, man, how come you didn't fall? How come your money didn't fall apart? Well, you know, we had some issues, but, you know, we learned some stuff, and God was merciful, and we got some things lined out. We started doing what God said and started working with it. You know, and we built our house, we built our finances, we built everything, our children, our family, on the rock, knowing that someday, we don't know when, may not be everybody, but somebody, many people are going to experience some major shakings in their life, and we want to prepare them for it. By our example. Amen. All right, 754-24. I'm going to talk to you. Hello, 754.
Hey, Randy. Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, man, y'all need to settle down, man. I mean, this show isn't that exciting. It's exciting, but it's not that exciting.
We got a full house, man. I'm trying to settle them down.
It sounds like it. All right. All right, good. Good to have you guys. All right. All right. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya, Lord. We thank you, Lord, Father, for the work of God, for the work of God, that when they think of work, they're going to think of the work of God. Even if they're going to work to make money on some job, some house, that they're thinking about the work of God, because that's what Donald Tony, that's what the Lord says when he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do things, you know, in the hundredfold realm. It says that when you, surely I say there's not one of you that's left house, a home, brothers, sisters, for my sake and for the God, for the work of God. And when you're thinking constantly, how can I help God do his work? I'm going to do my job today, which may not have anything to do with, quote, the gospel. But everything about my life is about the gospel and the kingdom, that hundredfold realm that we walk in, Jesus, comes with persecution because we're intimidating the liar and the thief of this globe, that Satan, that Jesus Christ has defeated, and that when we start thinking correctly, Jesus tells Peter, Peter says, you know, you can just, some people just say that, man, well, we left that, we left our church, we left our house, we left our home, we left others to follow you. Now, what are we getting out of it? Like that was some carnal Christian question. And Jesus didn't say it's carnal. He said, assuredly, I tell you. In other words, assuredly, Peter, assuredly, Donald and Tanya, I say to you, there is no one who has left all these things, house and mother, brother, sister, land, for my sake, houses, home, land, and for my sake, Jesus said, and for the gospel, we shall not receive a hundredfold. Now, I like that word now. Now, and in this time, he doubled down on it. He just didn't say now. He said, in this time, houses, home, brother, sister, land, with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. And, amen. All that together, the now and the eternal life. That's a true balance. And we think about that for the work of God. And God does his work. Amen. We give him the glory for it. Because our minds are set on the work of God and what God wants to do, even though we may not necessarily be doing the exact thing ourselves, but all we think about is getting God's kingdom come, got to get God's work done in Jesus' name. And then God blesses us with a hundredfold because of that. where we can have more to bless him more with, to build more of his kingdom, to do more, and we get an acceleration mode that never stops. That's what God wants, the acceleration of blessing. All right, 919-995, we want to talk to your friend, please. Hello, are you there? All right, this is Cheryl from. Okay, I think you're saying yeah. All right, Cheryl, thank you, Cheryl. I thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. God, I thank you, Lord, for her conversations, Father, that she has. Her conversations come from heaven. God, you're teaching her how to talk from her heart, the talk of heaven, the talk of heaven. That talk of heaven isn't always, oh Jesus, I just love you every day. I just love you. The talk of heaven could be, you know, being friendly to the sinners. Talk of heaven could be, you know, being kind to, you know, people and being generous with your blessing, generous with your, you know, blessing people and saying, hey, man, you're doing awesome. You're looking really good. And if you need to change a couple of things, man, you got a lot going on over here. You know, once you change those things, you know, you're really going to be blessed. So it's not like we just always pump people up. Sometimes we have to correct them a little bit. But God teaching you how to have your conversation, always toward lifting people up and building people up, right? Even if the correction is involved, it's like you're doing it for the sake of building them up and correcting and causing them to go higher and go further. And God showing you in your conversations that when you talk with people, communicate with people, that they get around you and they go like, man, I always feel lifted up when I get around Cheryl. Yeah, I always feel lifted up, built up. But what is that? Because our conversation. God's teaching how to keep your get your conversation and keep your conversation, you know, as something edifying and building up and courageous and giving people courage and strength and blessing, you know, where they walk away going, man, what is it about her? I don't know. It's really awesome. Yeah, because your conversation is you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And through my mouth, through Cheryl's mouth, God, she's blessing and drawing people in to be her friend and be her connect to her and through love, through her heavenly conversation. Like I say, it's not always just talking about heaven, talking about the word of God. It's just being friendly and, hey, how you doing? How can I help you, you know, show you how to cook that meal right? And, you know, it just could be about talking about anything, but just helping people, loving people, and being a giver in your attitude and all your love. And your conversation reveals all that. Amen. Yeah, and you're blessed. Amen. And God's opening up and going to reward you for all that. We do expect rewards, as God said, we should believe for them. Amen. All right, sure. 804-218, can I talk to you from, please? 804-218. All right, let's go for Angie from Virginia. God bless you, Angie. Thank you, Lord, for Angie, God. I thank you, Lord, for this whole reward message that you give her the revelation on this, God, because when I first seen it myself, I'm going like, man, that's just like, you know, my natural human intellect and my religious, you know, thinking and my, you know, so-called spiritual thinking, which are really not spiritual, more just, you know, religious in the sense that it's not God-centered. And God changed me and go, man, I want you to expect rewards because rewards are how I supply my kingdom, get my kingdom done. And how I supply for you to get to pay your, yeah, rewards, pay your bills, rewards give you extra. Extra for what? Well, when you have a heart to give, then the extra is for the kingdom of God, right? If you're thinking about the kingdom of God. So the extra you get, so the rewards, in Hebrews 11:6, as I've already been teaching, that it's he says, you must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not a rewarder of everybody else, but a rewarder of you. And that when you connect into that, realize that that's what God wants you to do is expect rewards, believe rewards, because those rewards are for his kingdom's sake. And like Peter, to pay your bills and pay Jesus' bills. Yeah, Amen. So I thank you, Lord, for opening her up to that, God. As Jesus saying, the simplicity of that message, the understanding that, you know, the only way we could ever say we don't want to reward of heaven, we're going to use it for ourselves, is a little selfish us. Well, we're not selfish. Angie is not selfish. Angie is a giver. And when she thinks about rewards, she's thinking about, yeah, and when I get rewarded, I want those rewards back. God, can you God give me some extra rewards? Can you, like, multiply that, increase that? Because I got some people I want to take care of. I got things I want to take care of. I want to have the kingdom of God. And God says, yeah, man, you know what? When you start, Hebrews 11:6, when you start believing that I'm a rewarder, then I start sending those rewards. You can help more people, can take care of your business and bless, be blessed abundantly and take care of God's business abundantly. Amen. In Jesus' name, open her up to that dimension. Feed her that bread, God. Let her tap into that blessing from the hand of God, from the miracle, increase, multiplying hand of the multiplying bread and fish of Jesus. Amen. All right, 334-590. Who am I talking to, from, please?
Jayla from New York.
Hey, Jayla. All right, Jayla. Jayla's in New York, New York City. All right, thank you, Jayla. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the value of things, God, that as Jayla starts tapping into the value, you know, see what does it say? It says, lay not treasures up in heaven, but on earth, but in heaven. So what does that mean? That means that everything we do this under the Lord. When you do it under the Lord, we start seeing the value of things. We start seeing the value of people in our life. We start seeing the value of love, of marriage, of relationship, of friendship, of money. You see the value of that from God's perspective. The value of winning souls, the value of, you know, being blessed by God and having our finances flow and getting, you know, what we need in abundance. That God wants to show you that the purpose for abundance isn't selfishness, it's for the quality of life of God and for you to be enter into the blessing so you can be, the Bible says the promises, the covenant of God is for God's people is to be blessed, to be a blessing. And I thank you, Jesus, that you give, as Jada walks in that blessing realm of loving herself and knowing that she is, that whoever gets her, whoever is going to find her, whoever she finds, when they find her, it's going to be like, man, I found a treasure. I found a treasure. Why? Because you learn to treasure things. Treasures that are found are people who treasure things. And so as you focus on your laying not up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven, what I do unto the Lord. What I look for unto the Lord through the Lord's eyes. So you start seeing the quality of a thing. And when you do that, when people see you, taste of you, partake of you, just touch your life, they're drinking and tasting quality. They're drinking and tasting the treasure that you are. Amen. And God, how's that going to happen? You got to love you, loving yourself, asking God to show you how to love yourself as your neighbor. Amen. And that's our very much of a relationship scripture, to love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor can be, you know, your husband, future husband. Your neighbor could be whoever, but it's relational. And to love your neighbor as yourself means, yeah, that there's that perfect balance. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for the release of love in her life, Jesus, for soaking, letting her soaking in and letting you, Jesus, letting you, Holy Spirit, Father, love her. I just see you soaking in the love of God, just sitting back and not trying to love God, right? Just letting God love you. Letting God love you. You ever tried to love somebody that wouldn't let you love them back? Like you love them, but they don't let you love them back? Right? Yeah, they love you. Show all kind of affection to you, but they don't let you show affection to them? Oh, no. Balance of relationship is love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. That means you value them. That you value yourself. I'm telling you, friend, only God can do that because I have struggled with that, battle with that all my life. And little by little, as I began to break down the teachings, understanding what Jesus had teach me about loving myself and what it really meant, and the purpose of that is so I would value myself. when I value myself, other people value me. And they want to become like you. Amen, Jesus. Raise up a generation like Jalen. All right, 912-318, you want to talk to me from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Sandra from Georgia.
Hey, Sandra. Sandra, I wasn't sure that I know that number is familiar, but okay, sorry. And so as soon as I, you know, put your number before I even heard your voice, the Lord gave me the word possessions. Possession. Take possession. Take possession. God has called you. You have a calling to take possession. Like, let me see if I can find a scripture for that. Hang on a second. I don't give scripture to everybody. Just when God gives it to me, take possession. Okay, of the, or I'm going to put that in there. I think so, Adam and Eve. What's going on? Here we go. He told Adam and Eve, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance. Okay, I just ran across the scripture accidentally. Probably not so accidentally. Psalms 2, Sandra, verse 8, ask me. Okay, so the Lord's telling you this specifically. Ask me, saith the Lord, Sandra. Ask the Lord, and he will make the nations your inheritance. The ends of the earth, your possession. Only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. So in other words, you know, I think God's trying to, because I heard the word possessions, like possession, like take possession of. Like he told Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and take possession of the earth, really, you know, to take dominion. And so you have this anointing. It's actually an anointing to help people take, like, I know you do counseling stuff, that kind of thing. So in a sense, that's kind of what you are doing in a natural, in a soulish sense, spiritual sense. You're helping people take possession of their lives again, right? That's what we do when we help people with their emotional state and their mental state and all that. We help them take possession of their life. Okay, so there you go. So that makes sense. That'll help connect that anointing you have to help, you know, a calling to take possession of things. So when you counsel people, what's the whole purpose of that? To get them back in possession, control of their life, right? Through the Lord or through good health, take possession, right? Where they're no longer out of control, where they're, you know, in the control of the Lord, hopefully, right? And so Numbers 33, verse 53, Numbers 33, 53, you are to take possession of the land. So I speak over her tonight, God. I speak over Sandra tonight, God, that you have called her to take possession, Father, in Jesus' name, to take possession of things, take control of things. When things get out of control, God's going to show you how to get them back in control. And sometimes that's temporary decisions. Sometimes it's permanent decisions. Amen. And so I thank you, Lord, that you give that to her, God, in Jesus' name. And you open up that realm of taking dominion, taking possession of. He told Adam and Eve, he blessed them with the be fruitful and multiply thing. So the being fruitful and multiply thing, Sandra, as you know, well know, where Jesus took the bread and blessed it and multiplied it. It was the spirit of multiplication. So Lord, I thank you for that ability to multiply and increase, God, in her life, in Jesus' name, to break through this thing of the cankerworm, what it's eaten up, and that you're going to restore all that. And Jesus, everything the cankerworm and the farmworm has eaten up, God's going to restore it to you because you have an anointing. It's a calling of taking possession. And like I said, you can see that in your what you do in your calling is that you help people take possession of their life. That should right there show you the passion you have for that if you have an anointing for it. But it's not just for that. It's for all things, everything that belongs to you. God has given you the power on how to take possession of it. Amen. By the Spirit of God. Amen. And so when you do that, you not only get back not only did you get back people for God, get them back to a state of normality or, you know, being made whole, also your finances and money and wealth and blessing that the enemy has stolen and robbed, amen, and bringing that back, restoring that. Hallelujah. Open that up for God in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be done. All right. Of course, over your husband, too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, 214-288. Can I talk to you from, please? All right, 214-288. Can I talk to you from?
Daniel from Texas.
Oh, hey, Daniel. All right, good to have you, Dan. All right, Daniel, I was thinking about you today, or it was yesterday. I can't remember. Yeah, and I see God putting on a whole new face, like a face, you know, like a face meaning not something phony and fake, but like a whole new countenance, a whole new, you know, what's the word? A whole new look, a whole new like I see your countenance changing. I see your spirit man opening up to putting on a whole new face. In other words, the face you had before was a good one, but it's going to be better from glory to glory. And your countenance and your glory from God that God has given you changing that, changing your appearance, changing your atmosphere from one place of glory to a whole other place of glory. And because God has called you, Daniel, to give glory to God, and to be a glory, be a glory giver. In other words, giving people what they need to function, giving them what they need to prosper, in their thinking, in their livelihood, whatever it is, giving them what they need, giving the glory of God. The glory of God is the blessing of God to. You know, like Paul the Apostle, when he was good to people, he imparted the glory of God to them. He taught them. He trained them. He changed their lives. He showed them how to prosper, you know, how to have a life where they could live on their own. You know, they can function without having to live off the government. They can function without having to live off of people, you know, off of mama and whoever else, you know. When it came time to do that. And so I see God putting on a whole new face with you with this. I don't have to explain what I see. Hopefully I did that a little bit of justice and the level of which you touch people and change their lives and help them to, you know, have hope. Like, you know, somebody cares about me. Somebody loves me. Somebody. And the main reason for that, Daniel, is so that they can take it and give that to somebody else. And that somebody else give it to somebody else. And that somebody else give it to somebody else. And the glory of God increasing and multiplying, where people start saying, man, you know, three or four people down the line, one person, you touch one person, another person touch another person, because you help them. They thought, man, I'm going to do it dangerous. I'm going to help you. So they help one person. So three or four or five people down the road go, man, how come you're helping me? Well, because so-and-so helped me. And everyone, how did you help me? Well, because so-and-so, how did you help me? Why did you help me? Because so-and-so helped me. Why did you help me? Because Daniel helped me. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for that fatherhood of Daniel, God, in Jesus' name, and bringing that love, that friendship, that fellowship, Father, in his intimate life, personal life, God. I thank you for that, for the bringing forth of that and the declarativeness of that. I declare and decree it in Jesus' name. Let it come forth in Jesus' name and be blessed. Amen. And change the face of his whole life, God, from one glory to the next. All right, 803-991, who am I talking to, and where are you from, please?
Hi, my name is Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right, 22. I see the number 22. 22 means, like we've been talking about year 2022. Like I talk about, what is it? Give me a second. You know, the scripture about the treasures of David, the storehouse, the treasury, and Lord, I thank you for her treasury realm, that she can store up and have excess and have extra. She can store 22 means when you boil it into the scriptures that I know about the treasures of the house of David, and David had, you know, he had treasures, he had things stored up that you're storing up, Angela. God is showing you, he's been showing you how to tap into storing up things in heaven that come to you now, that you need now, which a supply for you now, which are rewarded to you now. The rewards are for you now. Like the song, like Mark 10, well, that scripture that we read earlier, Mark 10, where it talks about, and in this life, hundredfold to receive a hundredfold now and in this time, houses, home, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, lands, with persecution in the age to come, eternal life also, right? So I thank you, Lord, for the reward system in her, the treasure system, where our treasures, God, we're treasuring you. And because we treasure you, we treasure your ministries. Because we treasure you, we treasure your servants. And when we honor your servants and treasure your servants, God, because you have given them to us, that God, because of that, that you give, that you open up the treasure chest, you're giving my sister a brand new treasure chest. And that brand new treasure chest is bigger, much broader, much bigger, much wider, much fatter, and more treasures. Why do you want a treasure chest for? Just to keep things up for yourself? Selfish little us? No. You know, that treasure is, you know, to pay your bills and take care of stuff that you need. But it's also to say, hey, what do you need over there? Okay, let me open up my treasure chest here. Let me see that. There it is. Let me dig around. Like, and they hear you clanking around, clanking. I got it right here. I had it. Treasure out here. Here you go. It's all yours. Be blessed. You know, and just have that place of treasures. And gave that to you like I saw it. But Jesus. And just the joy you have of giving, the joy you have of loving, girl, is amazing. You treasure the right thing. You treasure the God thing. You treasure the beauty, the things of life, the things of God. And because of that, you know, God's going to make your treasure chest huge, not just for your little self. I'm not talking about you being selfish, but for our selfish little self, we feel bad about having so much treasure. Because it's not, we're not storing it up for us. Yeah, we got it for us. We need it. The coin that Peter found in the mouth of the fish that Jesus said, go fishing, and then the miracle was activated by Jesus. But at the same time, it was to pay his taxes too. So it blesses us, takes care of our stuff, and takes care of Jesus' stuff. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that treasure realm, 2022, God, in Jesus' name. And bless you with that friendship and that love, God, that love realm. Let it come forth in her life in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. 240-643.
And what? I should have that.
We're on.
Oh, I have it anyway.
We're on.
Hey, Randy. This is Daryl from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
Man,
hey,
it's
Randy.
Almost like you didn't remember who you Hey, Nicole, it's almost like you didn't remember who you were.
We're late tonight,
we almost
Randy.
Didn't
I'm sorry. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Y'all are having too much fun. Y'all need to settle down a little bit. You're having way too much fun. Settle down. Not really. All right. Good to have you guys. Hey, that number's a new number. I didn't know who it was. It kind of surprised me. Hey, you know, when you guys got on and all that loud, crazy noise you're making just gave me goosebumps. I don't know why exactly. But it's just like, you know, the pleasure and the joy of the Lord and the treasure and the connection and the connected at the hip thing. It's like, you know, the joy that comes and the friendship and the love and the fellowship and, you know, the feeling, that freedom of being able to move forward and move on. I'm just telling you what I'm feeling right now, right? And that love fest. We've been talking about the love fest, as Nicole knows, Daryl, for a long time, the love fest. And that's what I think we're entering into, like the marriage supper of the Lamb has to do more with, you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb has to do with the love fest of just loving Jesus first. As we love Jesus first, we have so much love to give to our mates, to our loved ones, to our lovers, to our children, to our family, to whoever wants it, you know. Yeah, and just spread the love, my God. And I just see this thick cream, like, you know, like a cream you put on a muffin or something, I don't know, or a bagel or whatever, I don't know. You know, I don't know, it's just like this thick cream. I don't know what that is exactly, but it's good stuff, man. That's all I can say. And I thank you, Lord, for that, for the richness of your word, God, the milk of your word, of our life gets churned into this creamy, you know, like when you churn cream, it turns into butter. And it's a crease hallelujah, that they've been churning the cream of your word, working your word, working their, and because of that, it's evolved into this cream from heaven, God, in Jesus' name and the blessings. Hallelujah. Bless them, Jesus. Increase them and multiply them. Let them be blessed, God, and just take over stuff. Just take over stuff. Take possession of things for the kingdom of God and for the glory of Jesus. So just laugh about it. Like I see you just laughing and mocking the enemy, saying, yeah, you thought you had me, but you were wrong. I'm singing a brand new song. Oh, yeah, I knew I was going to make it all along. It's a win. Yeah, I didn't know when I knew I was going to make it all along. Yeah. Anyway, something like that. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? All right. Hallelujah. Get loaded with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh. Amen. All right. Cool, man. Yeah. Jesus is Lord. That's all I can say. I'm just telling you what I feel when I connect, when I turn to you guys on. I'm reading back to you what I get. Amen. That's my job. That's what I do. Hopefully I did it okay there. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Let's try to move on if we can. Woo, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. My God, pour it out. All right, 503-318. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Robin from Oregon.
Oh, hey, Robin. All right. Thank you for that text earlier. That was awesome. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Robin. We just thank you, Lord, for this whole thing, God, of just feeling worthy because we're your daughter and your son. I mean, if you have children, you know, even when your children are little bitty rascals and just doing stuff, you know, you just like things. You just love them. The reason you get hurt by their stuff because you want them to live the best life. And they're just, in your eyes, they are worthy. Why? Because they're your baby dolls. They're your children. They're your seed. They are worthy. They're going to get your inheritance. You're going to pass down, you know, lots to them. You know, so they're worthy, you know, in a sense. And I see God really moving your relationship with them into this place of, you know, how worthy we are in the sense that we are his children. You know, we're not some unworthy scumbags out here barely making it. No, we're not half-baked, barely grafted in, bunch of Gentiles. No, we are born again. Totally restored, totally different bloodline, totally different. We're not Jew or Greek. We're not black or white. We're Jesus people, and we are worthy. We are his children. We're in his likeness. It's like Jesus saying, "I don't like myself. I'm not. You know, we're not worthy." It's like Jesus saying he doesn't like himself, right? So we know that's not true. We know Jesus liked himself, right? You know, yeah. So there's something about loving yourself. And when we love ourselves, we enter the way God wants us to, then we enter into that place of being worthy. And when you feel worthy in the right way, Robin, guess what happens? You start singing a new song. I was worthy all along, but I just didn't know it yet. But now I do. Now I'm going to move on up with you, Lord. You know, so we're going to be, you know, worthy of the sense that we are one with him. We are his lovers. He's our daddy. He's our papa. He's our Jesus is our best friend and our Lord. He gave his life for us. You're going to give his life for a bunch of, yeah, he gave his life for people who weren't worthy. But now that we're his, you know, that's why he gave his life to us, Robin, as you know all this. I'm preaching to the choir. Because we are, he made us new creatures to make us worthy. Before we weren't worthy. Now we are worthy because we're his baby dolls. And God's really, I see God really moving in with you and your family, your loved ones, and just ingraining that within you. I am worthy. And you know what being worthy does, Robin? You know what it does? It opens us up to the blessings of God. Because if we feel unworthy, like, God, I'm just so sorry, unworthy, you know, and it's like, you know, just give me the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son, right? Yeah, Robin. He was like, came back, and he's going like, oh, God, I'm just so unworthy. This is just a perfect example. Never thought about it before. Perfect example of what God's trying to tell you and me. That his prodigal son came back, and he was just thinking, just give me some food on a regular basis, Dad. I mean, you know, here I got food. I got a job, you know, I got something. And he said, I don't deserve anything else. He said, what? You're my son. He ran after him. Why? Because he was his son. Yeah, he ran after him because he was his son. And he said, no way. No way. You are my son. You are worthy of my love. You are worthy of my shoes. You're worthy of this robe. I'm robing you because you're worthy. Because you're mine. Hallelujah. And what it did, it changed his whole perspective on being worthy before because he's our daddy, our father. And it opens us up to receiving the blessing of God, the anointing, the glory, even our financial realm, all that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, that God is taking care of his because we're worthy. The worthiness of it is what draws it in. The inheritance of our Father. We were unworthy, now we're worthy because of his blood, because we've been recreated. We no longer live under the law where we're unworthy. We now live in the spirit because we're a new creation. We're his blood, we're his flesh, his blood, man. We're not worthy. I think that's a lie from hell. All right? Yeah, and some people are just, you know, our false humility, my false humility, has had a hard time with that. Because I've been taught, man, if you think you're worthy, man, you can arrogant, pompous. No. How many children, their fathers and mothers have proven to them that no matter what they do, they still love them. They're still worthy of their love. They may not give them all the blessings yet because they haven't been trustworthy of it, but they're still worthy of it. They're still, you know, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And God, pour your glory into my sister, God, and your rewards. She's worthy of the reward because of your love. All right, 402-650. Can I talk to your friend, please? Are you there? Okay. All right, that's John in Omaha. Thank you, Lord, for John. Thank you, Jesus, Carmen, Texas. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. 402-650, that is John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. God, I thank you for uniting them together, Father, in agreement that you want to bless, God. You only bless acts of obedience. You bless works. You bless works that are of faith. Not works that are just self-righteous things that we all try to do to make God happy. No, you know, the works of faith. God rewards them. and the Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, because you listen to the teaching tonight, is that he said we need to believe that God is a rewarder. If we're not believing it, we're not expecting it. And if we're not doing the things that create rewards, which is faith and belief, which I know you are, that God wants you to increase that. He wants you to multiply that. You want to increase and multiply everything in your life? Begin with, you know, that. Start, you know, doing that. You know, giving away your life, knowing that God's going to reward you for that. Start expecting it. Jesus said you must believe that he is a rewarder. And how can we say we don't really look for it if we're told we must believe in it, that he's a rewarder? It's so contradictory. So thank you, Jesus, for opening up John and Melissa's eyes, God. They can start expecting those rewards, God. Do those things, because once you get like a dog when you train a dog, you know, it's built in all of us, John, to, and Melissa, to expect reward. We're made for that. God made us like that. It's a God thing. So it's like when they train a dog, you know, beautiful dogs are, smart dogs are, you know, what they do, they have this little nugget thing in their hand and they tell the dog, do this, do that, and they do it. They get, put that little thing in their mouth. You can't even see it, it's so small. And yet they get, man, yeah, I'll do that again if you just give me another reward. Because we're made like that. So we got to quit that false humility thing about I'm not doing it for the reward. Yeah, that dog, I'll do this for a reward again. Yeah, because we're made like that. Human beings are made the same way. God's going to start opening their eyes. So, God, you can move them into that place where they can see that, understand that, walk in that, live in that, so they can start drawing that blessing to them. Blessing in their relationship, blessing in their whole household, blessing in their finances, all of it. Amen. All right, 863-268. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Nikki and Charles.
Okay, I have to have Charles. Tell Charles if he can't get his phone on here, forget it. I'm not going to,
And what's really messed up is I think he's asleep.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're going to forgive him this time. Okay. We love you guys. All right. You know, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Jesus, for Charles and Nick. God, we thank you, Lord, for this higher level, God, moving them into that resurrection, that I am the resurrection. You know, Christ in us, the resurrection. It's not about, you know, we're going to get healed. We're going to get the healing going. We're going to get the healing miracle going. Power going. We're going to get the resurrection going, like in the future, like Mary told Martha as we talked about the other night. But that it is now. It is now. Jesus said, "You don't understand, Martha. You're missing the whole point, Mary. I am." See, nobody had really ever walked in that before. Nobody had ever seen that before. And now, through Christ, when the Holy Spirit came up the day of Pentecost, they could now say that about themselves. They had the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, which was the resurrection. Who resurrected Christ from the dead? The Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit was with him before he ever resurrected him. That's why he said, I am the resurrection. So I thank you, Lord, for that new fellowship with Charles and Nikki in that realm of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we have the resurrection life in us, and to realize that resurrection power has conquers everything that has to do with death. So I thank you, Jesus. It seemed like I said this to you last night. But maybe God's saying it and repeating it again, since he's saying this is like really focused on this. I think that's what the Lord's saying. Because you're called to this. You've been chosen for this. You have a deep passion for this girl. I mean, there's no way, you know, you're going to have anything else but the best. You're going to have anything else but resurrection. You're going to have anything else. No, I'm not satisfied. You're not satisfied with nothing else but the glory of God, which we should not come short of the glory. That's what God said. Sin is coming short of the glory. Yeah, sin is not doing something wrong. Sin is coming, maybe it is doing something wrong, but sin is coming short of the glory. Hallelujah. Blessing Jesus, that I am, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, the I am, the great I am, he is the resurrection, resurrected, right? The Holy Spirit, the power, he raised Christ from the dead. The Holy Ghost did that. Loosen that in him, Jesus. Hallelujah, by the power of God. Come forth, resurrection power, and live and abide and dwell and move and have your way in them, through them, God, to bring resurrection. The resurrection could be resurrecting somebody's finances, resurrecting their mental health, casting the devil out of them, healing their mind, you know, raising them from the dead. It's all that and above it. You already know. Doubling down on that. That sounds like the Lord, isn't it? Awesome, man. What a powerful dadgum word. Wow. Yeehaw! All right, 831-596. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Noelle in California.
Hey, Noelle. All right, Noelle. I don't even know what Noelle is. All right, Noelle, it sounds like God's changing your name. Noelle. But I didn't say that by accident. I know the Holy Ghost when he's talking to me. Yeah, Ishaquata Maher. Like Abram went from Abram to Abraham. You just went from Noel to Noella. I don't know if I say it exactly like that. I probably say it more dignified, like Noella. You know, it's like Noella. Put that Hebrew ruach in there. Noella. 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 Anyway, you know, I'm not afraid to make a fool of myself, as you might notice. Thank you, Jesus, for that breath of God, that breathing, the breath of life. Now, the whole word, like I just gave Nikki about, and we talked about last night, about the resurrection, God. Whatever's been dead, whatever we've lost, listen, let me tell you something, girl. God's going to show you that it doesn't matter what you've lost. It doesn't matter what you've lost. People, time, money, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And God, somebody's going to let you lose things so you can figure out in him how to resurrect it from the dead. I messed that up. Man, that's dead. Yeah. Hey, God, what's going on? I messed that relationship. That's dead. It's like God says, yeah, I'm allowing that. Yeah. It's like I allowed Joseph's life to be completely dead. I allow. Listen to this, girl. I allow Abraham's and Sarah's womb to be dead. I allowed that. You think I didn't allow it? You think I didn't manipulate that, wheel and deal that? And they're sitting there going, I don't know why we can have a baby. I'm so mad at myself. What's wrong with me? I'm not performing very well. The whole time, God's sitting there going, yeah, I'm doing that. Sorry. Sorry, I can't tell you. Sorry, I can't tell you, because if I tell you, it's not gonna be the same thing. I can't tell you because I need you to keep believing. Yeah, so God sometimes, Noella, lets things die, whatever it is, or come to death to a certain degree. Like a vision sometimes, a vision of our life, sometimes a purpose. Something goes through the death process. Mine went through that, a death process. Why? So God can raise, he said, yeah, I'm gonna show you that I'm gonna raise from the dead. You know, I'm gonna give you Sarah and Abraham a child because I'm gonna show them that they're gonna walk in the resurrection power. When he offered up Isaac, one thing he knew was that God could raise he brought Isaac through the resurrection power. And if he kills him, he offers him up on the ground, he cuts him in half and sheds his blood and makes an offering of him. It doesn't matter. God's gonna raise him from the dead, and God's trying to put that girl right in your soul, right in your spirit. Right in your body, right in your soul, right in your money, right in your finances in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We can say, yeah, you tried hard. You did really good. Yeah, you tried to work it out. But guess what? Now I'm going to show you how to do it. I let you do it. I let you try to work. Abraham and Sarah even came up with a really good idea, which really messed up a lot of stuff. But I still blessed them anyway. Increase them anyway, really hyper-diaper, bless them in a powerful way anyway. God was teaching Abraham his favor and his grace, right? His unmerited, undeserved favor, and how what a loving, kind God we serve. Yeah. Woo! Jesus said, Martha and Mary, you know, yeah, we know the resurrection is going to happen. They'd be resurrected. But Jesus, if you had just been there, you know, if you had just been there, Jesus, that's what Martha and Mary both said. Martha was the workaholic. Mary was the servaholic, sitting at Jesus' feet. And neither one of them understood it, right, which tells you. And he said, yeah, you know, you don't understand. I am the resurrection. I can call forth anything that's dead now or later. Doesn't matter to me. Connect Noel to that wisdom, that revelation from Jesus himself, from the Holy Ghost. All right, 303-386. Can I talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, Clark.
Who is it?
Mike from Colorado.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, man. Give me off speaker.
Oh,
you got me on speaker,
Mike.
Mike. Okay, sorry. I got you. Sorry, man. I can't hear you. Yeah, I don't know if you have my speakerphone or what was that. Sorry, I couldn't cut. It goes right in my ear like. I'm going like, this is quick. Who's quick? Oh, it's Mike. Hallelujah. My God. Sheku pakare mehere faroha. Man, when I'm talking to you, bro, all of a sudden I got like a fire. I got a fire. I'm saying it exactly like I'm getting, like, not fire, fire. I got a fire down in my spirit, literally. I feel literally right now. I'm feeling a fire, not fire, fire. Like Noel did, Noella, Abraham, Abraham, fire to fire. Yeah, I just feel a fire down in my spirit, man. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I loosen the fire inside you that burns away everything inside the mess of you. Anything the enemy tries to encompass you and surround you and mess you up and put thorns and thistles all around you, you can't function. The fire of God just burn it up and make a nice show. Make some pretty colors. Fire has so many pretty colors in it. And it's so pretty, so actually just dadgum gorgeous when it's the thorns and thistles. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glorify thy name, God. That's what I can hear in the Lord say. This fire is about glorifying thy name. You know, Jesus is going to, you know, not let his name be shamed. And because Jesus does not want his name to be shamed, bro, therefore he watches over us to make sure that we make it. Amen? And that way that his name is not shamed. What did Moses, you know, you understand intercession. You understand that, you know, walking out with God and standing in the gap. You know, Moses said, God, now, you know, I know you said you're going to kill them all and just, you know, start over with me. Can you imagine the shock that Moses felt, Mike, when God said, you know, I don't think he said, I'm going to get you about 500 concubines. We'll just kind of start all over and raise up a few million in a couple of years. You know, Moses is going like, I don't know if I've got it in me, God. And Moses, oh, yeah, with your glory, okay. But, you know, God says, you know, I'm just going to kill them all and we'll start over again. And you go like, what? Kill them all. And God says, no, you say, no, God can't, don't kill them all. And you stand in the gap with God. Tell God, you know, your name's going to be shamed. What are the Egyptians going to think if you kill them all? They're going to like, oh, man, I told you God didn't like those people. We didn't like them that well either. They were our servants. Too bad they're not back there working, but. You know, slaves, but you know, now got him after God got it, took him out there to kill him. And that's what Moses said, you're gonna shame your own name, God. They're gonna think he brought him out here to kill him. They'll probably be laughing about it. They'd be laughing at you. But that's what Moses tells God, Mike. You know that. He's going like, God. And he said, this whole thing about shame. You know, God's not gonna let his name be shamed, bro, no matter what. You know, what the devil tries to do, the more the devil tries to shame his name, more God's going to raise up people and do things anyway. You're going to get his way no matter what. That fire that I see and feel in my spirit in Jesus' name, burning away that stuff. Hallelujah. Try to shame the name of Jesus. Try to shame his name. To stop the work of God, the will of God from happening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that fire is in my brother. And he's going to pass that fire around in Jesus' name to burn away the things that are burnt, trying to stop. Shame the glory of God, the name of Jesus in his life, to bring the glory to God to the forefront, the glory of God, how the name of Jesus being glorified for the work of God he's done through resurrection power in Jesus' name. The burning bush, bro, there you go, the burning bush inside you. Hallelujah. Wow. All right. 864-313, who am I talking to you from, please? 864-313. All right, hang on, I gotta go. I'll be right back. I'm taking a quick break. Let's see. 864-313. You there yet? 864-313. Hello. Yes, who am I talking to from, please?
Walter from South Carolina.
Walter, okay, hey Walter. Yeah, okay. I should have recognized that number, but I didn't. All right, because I got a lot of members. Thank you, Walter. God bless you, Walter. Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the confidence you've given him, God. Confidence, confidence in you, confidence in you, confidence in himself. God just doesn't give you confidence in him. He gives you confidence, yeah, in him first, and you start realizing your confidence in him gives you confidence that you can, you're going to make it through. You see, you got to start connecting that, oh, I got confidence in God, but I ain't going to confidence in myself. Well, sometimes we do have that. We do all that at that time. But eventually what happens is, you know, when I started putting confidence in God in some of the, you know, like the supernatural gifts that begin to flow through me, first I had no confidence that, you know, it was right. Like, okay, I get the information, but I'm like, man, is that right? You know, and then the people go, man, my God, you know, they start saying all this stuff and going like, really? I mean, that really didn't mean something? Yeah, Randy, that stock over there, that stock over there. I go, really? You're not bluffing me. You're not paying, you know, truly. I mean, you're not just saying that to be nice, right? No, no, we would never do that. It's after a while. It took a long time. The slower you are, the longer it takes. It took me a long time to get confidence. Like, you know, in my confidence, I had confidence in God, but it's like, you know, I didn't have confidence that I was hearing in him that well, you know. Like, the more people kept saying, yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right. And everyone thought I was supposed to say, yeah, yeah. Sounds like, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right. You know, you're like going, my gosh, really? So you start building a confidence in yourself that you can hear from God, not that you have the answers, that God is really using you. You start having confidence that God is with you. You know, not confidence that you can do it, but that confidence that God is with you, and because he's with you, you can do it in him and through him. But that takes time, especially when we get knocked down. God has to come back and build us up, build us up, build us up, build us up. So Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the miracle realm, God, showing him that you're with him and making it real to him in Jesus' name. All right, 251-229, can we talk to you from, please?
This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. All right. Sarah, good to have you, Sarah. All right. I'm going to say it. All right, Sarah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for teaching Sarah how to drink in prayer, how to drink of your presence, how to drink of drinking, Sarah, in your prayer or your seeking God, you know, just, you know, is, how can I explain soaking in and drinking in? Drinking in, okay, let's say, you know, I'm talking to somebody and all of a sudden, you know, I'm trying to pray for them and get something, and all of a sudden, one particular, maybe a word, maybe two or three of the words that I said, you know, one individual words, you know, information, like, you know, you start talking about a certain thing and a word sticks out to you, like, okay, that word stuck out to me, like, so I realized that's a word that God wants me to focus on, so start talking about that particular part of that word. So I start talking about that particular part of that word. Well, come to find out, that was exactly what God wanted me to do, right? Suppose I drank in, but when something stuck out, I drank it in, or I partook of it. Okay, I drink it in, and when I did, the taste of it and the feel of it, I was able to, you know, give somebody the right information, you know, or at least help give some information for them to help them. And so thank you, Jesus, for that love, for that mercy, for that grace, for that tenderness, God, teaching my sister how to drink in things, how to catch a word, how to when something sticks out, she grabs, she goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's 20 words of it, one word. I was reading the Bible, and one word stuck out. You know, he wept. wept, 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 wept. What does wept mean? And you realize that, you know, you start weeping. And you're, oh, my God. That, reading that word wept makes me wept, weep. And when you start weeping, you start feeling the presence of God. So, so words connect you to God. You drink them in. Amen? So, guys, teach her how to drink them in. Teach her how to catch those words and put her mouth over them and just suck the life out of it for her own needs, to bless her, to be a blessing to other people, God, in Jesus' name. When she's praying or seeking you or just reading the Bible or talking to people, that she'll start catching words like, you know, something sticks out. Amen. How to drink the word, how to, partake of it, how to catch it, get something out of it. Because a lot of times words pass us right by because we're not being sensitive. We're not paying attention. And so all we got to do is just, Sarah, is just say, God, make me aware of things that you're saying through. Make me aware of them. Let me hear those special words so I can, you know, catch them and take a hold of them and focus and milk them and drink from them, right? Yeah, because they're all to bring life. Yeah. All right. Happens to me, you know, that's about it. One of the ways we did it. All right. 847-239. Who am I talking to, friend, please?
Hi, Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you, Jesus, for the courageousness, God, that the power to not just to survive, but to conquer, be more than a conqueror. God, you've given her a spirit to be more than a conqueror, God, not just to barely make it. Barely making it sometimes is a miracle. Right? When you're not used to it, when you're not used to making it, barely making it is awesome. So it's like catching the wind of you know, how to trust him. And when everything seems to be going wrong, we learn to trust him when everything's going right and when everything's going wrong. Israel, Stephanie, fell away from God when everything was going well. You know, you'd think that wouldn't happen, but that it does. Because our nature is to, we start thinking, you know, I did this, and I did that. We would think we would never do that, but we have to listen to the Bible. And the Bible says, be careful that we don't do that, right? So we have to be careful. And we watch over and make sure that we don't, without even thinking we would ever do. I mean, Peter never thought he would deny Jesus, but, you know, a few days later, he was just acting like he never even knew who he was. He was one of his main disciples walking on the water with him, and he said, I don't really know. I don't know who he is. Never seen him. Don't know him. Blankety blanking. Yeah, you'd think he would never do that. But you see, we think all the, I never. But we become humble, truly humble, Stephanie. We start realizing, hey, it's possible. I could, you know, be doing great one minute and not so good the next minute and walk out and go, my God, I can't believe I just did that. So I've been in circumstances where we get around a bunch of people. And I mean, the atmosphere can get crazy quick. And all of a sudden you start thinking things, saying things, doing things, that stupid stuff. You walk in and go, I can't believe, it wasn't maybe necessarily anything bad, but just like, why did I agree on that? Why did I, and you go, oh my God, you know, so you start realizing it makes you more dependent on Jesus. On God, without you, I will fail. But with you, I can conquer. With you, I can conquer. And Peter was like so strong, I will never deny you, Jesus, never. Because he was a very courageous person, but you know what? His own courage didn't hold up. And same with us, and we all have that. Everybody has that. Not just some people, all of us. We have our own courage, and our own courage doesn't work under God. We'll fail. But when we do fail, if we do fail, that's why Jesus is using it as an example with Peter when he said, he just denied the Lord. The Lord rose from the dead, cooking fish for him, blessing him, serving him, you know, probably to wash their feet if they'd have let him. And he's going like, do you love me, Peter? That's all he was interested in, because he's trying to show us, you know, we're going to do things in our own strength and fail, but we don't go, oh, God. No, we just move on and go, okay, Lord, thank you for being patient. Thanks for being kind. Thanks for letting me fail so I can realize when I'm working in my own strength. So I'll learn to tap in your strength and live in your strength all the time. And the goal is for Paul the Apostle, which he never attained to it completely, is to walk in that every day of every moment of every, you know, yeah, so that we will never fail. And that's what God's called you to. Stephanie, is to never fail, to be successful in him. And believe me, it takes the Holy Spirit and a lot of agreeing with God at some really horrible, hard times and failing and making mistakes. Yeah, this failure humbles our pride. And we all have pride, self-pride. one way or the other. Well, I haven't got any. Yeah, ask if you're full of it. You know, I tell people that. I tell myself that. Because people, when I was so full of pride, I knew I didn't have any pride. Yeah, that's how you can tell people are full of pride. They don't think they got any of it. Yeah, it's amazing. Because it's just the way it is. So God knows that, and he understands that. He goes, man, I'm going to use your failures to make you strong. When I am weak, he is strong. I know you know all this stuff, Beth, but I thank God for you've got a call in her life, God, to live faithful and loyal to Jesus at every moment, at every turn, every time. In Jesus' name, she is going to accomplish that and be more than a conqueror. Amen. All right, 940-224, who am I talking to you from, please?
Michael from Texas.
Hey, Michael. All right. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for showing Michael that giving him the understanding that he's a success. You've called him to be a success. That's why he wants to be successful in relationships, in family, as a father, as a businessman, because that's what he's going to be. He already is that in your eyes, God. God, I ask you to open up Michael's eyes and show him that he, in your eyes, God, he's already saying, God's already saying to you, good job, Michael. My good and faithful servant, right? Like, now, God, are you sure you're talking to the right person? You know, Peter, yeah. Randy, Michael, are you sure, God? Yeah, yes. Yeah. Because that's how he sees it. Because he knows that's where we're going to be. We're not there yet. And that's true. We are not there yet. But guess what? God already sees you there, Michael. And you know, and I'm telling you, God's going to show you that. And as you see it, as you walk in it, it's what? It's because you're already there in God's mind. So when you start seeing that and knowing that's where you're going to be, and all your failures are just a step to success, being successful of God, that your failures are not going to mess with us. They do mess with us. They're made to mess with us. They're supposed to mess with us. They're supposed to humble us. They're supposed to tell us, you know, you thought you had God, didn't you? Well, maybe you did a little bit, but not near as much as you're going to, because you're going to have a lot of God. You're going to have a lot of God and everything. Yeah, that's where you're going. That's where you're going. Oh, really? Me? Yeah. And Peter denied the Lord. And a few days later, he's preaching to, you know, and 5,000 people get saved. 3,000, whatever. Yeah. I mean, boom. Jesus already knew that about Peter. That's why he didn't say, you idiot, when he denied him. Yeah, right, Michael? I mean, that's what I did. Oh, boy, Chandler, you screwed it up again. Yeah. The Lord goes, yeah. I know you screwed it up, Peter. I know you denied me, but I know where you're going. Jesus looks at you prophetically at where you're going. Where you are is, you know, a thing, and we work on that. You got to be honest about that. But it's where we're going. Where he sees us is what we get our eyes on him. Then we can walk on the water and become that very thing. Amen. Because we know that he knows already. All right. 608-960. Who am I talking to, from, please?
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. And you know, I just want to give you the same word I just gave Michael. That's what I want to say to you. I want to say the same thing, basically, I just told Michael. That, you know, the reason that God doesn't, quote, give up on us because we're sometimes, you know, just like, whatever, not measuring up, is because he knows we're not measuring up, but he doesn't look at us in our lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything, right? That's why we keep our eyes on Jesus, because he already sees us. He already knows that we're going to be successful. He already knows, Shannon, that you're going to have everything you need and more. Everything you need and more. And because he's going to do it, sometimes he lets, like the famous Abraham and Sarah scenario where he let them and their womb dry up where they could not do it on their own anymore, where God could do it. Then they had a child, you know. It's like sometimes we go through these things of we just feel like we're total failure, total unable to bear fruit, and all of a sudden he goes, yeah, I just wanted to show you that you couldn't do it on your own, you know. We're talking about Sarah and Abraham, right? Great people of faith. Stupid people. These were not ignorant people. These were not wavering people. They were godly people. Yeah, they wavered a little bit. You know, God goes, yeah, you know, sometimes I let you come to weakness and failure so that something breaks through in you, so that cry breaks out, that cry. There's different kinds of cries that we have. the cry that God heard of Israel when he said, Moses, I've heard their cry. It was a different kind of cry. They'd been crying for a long time. But that cry reached his heart. There was a cry of brokenness. It was a cry of, you know, I can't make it. Like, you know, Abraham said, like, we can't make it, man. We, you know. And so, you know, and they messed it up. And God still brought him through it. Lord, I thank you for that, for my brother, God, that you showed him, God, how they open him up, Jesus, to that place of surrendering only to Jesus, knowing that, just like Peter, Peter had to come to the end of himself. Most every servant of God, including Moses, all of them had to come to the end of themselves. And the sooner we yield to that and realize it's not the devil that's responsible for bringing us to the end of ourselves, but it is God. When we become weak, he becomes strong. We keep trying to be strong for Jesus, strong for Jesus. The Lord's going, you know, hey, Shannon, you can't be strong for me. I need you to be weak. I need you to acknowledge your weakness and know that you're weak and know that I'm with you and that I'm going to bless you. Then it's me that's going to do it. Amen. Sometimes we have to become bankrupt, as sad as it is, to become successful. Right? Then once you're successful, you experience bankruptcy here and there. You just, you already broke the thing. You know how to do it. You just come right back. But, you know, Donald Trump did that. Others, many people, wealthy people have done that. Fall in to come back. You've been there. You're coming back, dude. Yeah, God's going to do it. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Hang on a second. All right. Hallelujah. Where else are you going to get words and prayers and information like this on a regular basis? I don't know. I don't know anywhere. God has really been gracious to us. Probably some people get so spoiled, they just, you know, forget what's really going on. And, you know, and we don't value it. We don't value it. Oh, yo, you know, we're kind of. And so that's kind of what happened. That's what spoiled Israel. Israel was so spoiled that they got in a whiny mode. And this has nothing to do with anybody tonight, but the general overall of human nature. And when Israel got blessed, they started getting whiny. They started getting whiny. You know, that's for us to learn from, not to criticize them, as most people know. It's there to learn from. That's our human nature. If we don't be careful and keep our eyes on God, we'll do the same exact same thing. The same exact same thing. So God's saying, keep your eyes on me. Rather me, and you won't sink. Yeah, sinking just says, okay, you came up short, but it's okay. You know, we can always get another chance. God knows that. But how many more chances do you want? I mean, you know, whatever it takes, right? But still, like, come on. How many times around the wilderness are we going to go? You know, God, we cry to God. We become weak, so he becomes strong. And we all need that. I need that. There's some areas I'm strong in, you know, and God says, you're too strong in that. I need you to become weaker. And going weakening is a difficult process to go through. That's why sometimes failure is becomes our best friend. Failure brings us to a place of brokenness and trust in God again. Where we thought we were, we found out that we really weren't as much as we thought we were. And that's for everyone. Everyone that I know. Some people just fake it better than others, acting like they got it together when they really don't. And we need to just, you know, bypass them, move right straight to what the Bible says about people, and how that we need him. Amen. We need him. We've got to have him, or we're going to fail. With him, we are success. In Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Outside of him, we're more than failures. We're more than failures. And to realize that. All right, give us a breakthrough, God. Let there be breakthroughs in Jesus' name. All right, I guess you're going to call it a night tonight. That's my last call up the hand up. And it's only 11:41, so it's still kind of early. But, you know, I wanted to pray for anybody, everybody. You know, we pray for a lot of people on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Kind of our specialty, pray for people tonight. On Thursday, we pray over offerings toward people. We pray for, you know, 30, 40, 50 people sometimes. It just depends on what night is, what's going on that night. And then, you know, anywhere from at least 20 to 40, 50 people sometimes on Wednesday night. Yeah. So, really cool. we give it away, the more God gives. And so we get wealthy with words. We get wealthy with information. We get wealthy with the words of the Lord. Oh, okay, I guess, Greg, I did miss you. Thank you for letting me know about that. And also, you said something earlier. That's pretty cool. So, Randy, part of the curse of Adam was working by the sweat of your brow, and Jesus redeemed us from the curse. That's a really good point. I wish I would have said that earlier. I didn't really get a chance to read it, but I saw you saying something there. That's really awesome. So thank you, Jesus, that, amen. So, Lord, bless Greg tonight, God. Yeah, I called that number earlier. I called your number earlier. I guess you did. 480. I think I prayed over you already. Yeah, I prayed over 480-637. I didn't know who that was. But I prayed over it already. Maybe you were close at the time. But I prayed over 480-637. Because if somebody doesn't answer, I just pray over them anyway. Right? Just in case they, like you, realize, oh, you forgot to pray for me. No, I prayed over you. Even if they don't answer, I pray for them anyway. All right? So I prayed over you. Thank you for sharing that word. Very, very awesome. All right. Okay, 646. Hang on a second. 646-474. Who may I talk to you from, please? Six four six. Are you there? 646-474. Hello? 646, are you there? 646. Okay. Greg says he was talking to his mom. That's not a good enough excuse. Nah, it really is. Cool, man. Yeah, I prayed over you, bro. I usually do, even if you don't answer, because we try to get in the habit of praying over people. That way we don't miss anybody. Okay, you're welcome. Thank you. All right. Just have to come back and listen to it. Sorry. You're welcome, my brother. We're here to serve. We love serving. All right. Celine from New York. I think this is Celine. 646-474. Okay, that's Celine from New York. All right, Celine, gotcha. Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Celine tonight from New York. We just bless her tonight, 646. We just bless her, God, tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for discovering the recovery realm, discovering the recovery realm of God's recovery. The thing about in Jesus, Celine, is that it doesn't matter what we lose. It's hard to lose things. It's sad to lose things. But that's what God's specialty is restoring that which the cankworm, fallworm has eaten up and destroyed. God is just, that's his specialty. So he loves to, he hates it when we lose things too, but he loves to restore. He's the God of restoration. It's part of his nature. And so God's wanted to show you that it's part of his nature to restore you, to rebuild your life in the things that have been torn down, in the things that have been messed up, in the things that have not been turned. That's rebuilding you. So I thank you, Lord, for that rebuilding in Jesus' name. Sometimes we get a little area of our life tore up, messed up, you know, not the whole thing, does maybe not get messed up, but part of it. So he comes back and he starts building again. You know, it's just, God's eternal, so he doesn't get tired, right? We have to realize that God doesn't get tired. The only thing he gets tired of is making the same mistakes over and over again, never learning anything. That's what he gets tired of. That's what keeps us in this. But other than that, everything else, you know, he knows mistakes, failures, denials, sometimes betrayals, all kinds of stuff goes on. And you know what God does? He understands. He knows that we were born sinners and we need lots of help. So he's extremely gracious and extremely kind and wants to teach us how to always successfully move forward and never get knocked back, and they were always getting up, move forward, not back, move forward, not back. He wants us to move forward at a good pace and continue to move forward with very little losses, although we will have those sometimes. Amen. And how you treat your losses, how you thank God, you know, for them and thank him and acknowledge that, well, you did wrong, or maybe you didn't do everything perfect, or you messed up, or you didn't believe in that, you lost because of that. Say, God, you know, teach me how to, because if he teaches you and you learn from it, then you don't lose again, right? You learn from that. You close the gap on that where you don't lose anymore from that particular wrong belief or whatever. Amen? All right. 903-619, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Megan from Texas.
Who?
Megan from Texas.
Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I hear the Texas part, but say your first name slower, please. Megan?
Yes, sir.
Megan. Okay, Megan. Thank you, ma'am. Sorry, I just couldn't hear that very well. Yeah. Sometimes my earpiece is not really that well, so thank you, Megan. Thank you, Jesus, for Megan, God. Thank you for the heart you've given her to be kind and generous and loving and kind. But at the same time, God wants to work on the side of you that demands things to be done right. Not in a selfish, ugly way, but in a thing of, you know, sometimes you have to bring the best out of people by expecting the best out of it, not letting them get by with cheap stuff. You know, cheap work, cheap shots, cheap things, but bringing the best out of it. You know, drawing the best out of people, and expecting God to help us, to help people, and to help our situations, and to bring, to draw the best out of them, and to expect the best, and command the best. It's one thing to be patient and kind and loving and forgiving for people. It's another thing to if people just keep doing the same old thing all the time. They make the same old mistakes all the time. They keep going in circles. So who wants to have anybody in our life going in circles? We hate to see that, right? They never learn, always learning, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Notice they never actually figure out what they're doing wrong. They just keep doing the same old thing. So to demand that, you know, in a sense, from, you know, like sometimes you have to, in order for, like when you're raising kids, sometimes for your kids to do better, you have to raise up a little bit higher, expect a little bit more from them, and then help them, you know, become successful in it. Raise the standard, help them get there. When they get there, they go, oh, yeah, thanks for helping me. So raising the standard and believing God to fulfill, because if we're always forgiving, you know, and just and not really challenging people, and then we need help with that, you know. Because God wants us to challenge people to do better. God's always challenging me to do better. He said, Randy, you know, you can do better than that. So, you know, you're cheaping out. You're not focusing enough on this, focusing enough on that. Start focusing more and start showing me what to do to come to a higher quality and to believe. Like sometimes, you know, the reward system that I talked about tonight on the teaching is that we're made to expect rewards. But we try to deny that part. We think it sounds so selfish to expect a reward. Do it for the reward. But the rewards are to provide us for the thing that we need to do the will of God. But why wouldn't we want that? And anyway, so if you missed, get the teaching. Now, if you missed the teaching tonight, please get that teaching, and God will show you this whole thing about you know, moving up the quality of your life to a higher level, expecting it from God, expecting, because God wants it for you, but sometimes we don't think he does, because we don't really see ourselves as being worthy servants. The Bible says, you know, to the servants of God, he says, you are worthy, you know, because we're his children, not because we're not sinners who, under the law, are trying to perform and do right, you know, and we're not worthy of anything. No, we're his children. We're his flesh and blood. Do your flesh and blood, are they worthy of your love or not? Of course they are. So are we worthy of his love. We're worthy of his blessings because we're his children. It's our inheritance. Inheritance is something you're worthy of, but not because you've done everything perfect, because you're his child. It comes to you for that reason. So I thank you, Lord, for bringing my sister up to that place, God, at a new notch, a new level, a higher level, and blessing her and giving her that grace to be like Paul and trust God for his provision. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, y'all, I guess I'm going to call it a night now. I think that's basically it. Nobody else has their hand up. Thank you for being with us. All right, it's almost midnight. Give it a few minutes here. All right. Great, great night. We always have great, it's always exciting to get to prophesy and minister to people, and you never know what you're saying to them, what it means to them. You know, sometimes it's a future thing, sometimes it's something God's going to do, you know, in a few days, a few weeks, a few months. Maybe he's doing it now. Maybe it's something in the past that he's been doing, that he's leading you in a new direction or taking you to an higher level or whatever. But the word of the Lord, it's not just you're going to know everything about it. Sometimes it's stuff that's for the future that you don't know anything about. He's trying to say, I'm preparing you for this. I'm teaching you how to enter into the greater place. That, you know, he says that humble yourself before God in due season. He will exalt you to that greater level of exaltation where he exalts you. Well, you don't exalt yourself, right? We humble ourselves before him and he exalts us in due season. And I thank you, Lord, for that due season time, that harvest time. Hallelujah. All right, y'all, I guess I'm going to call tonight. I think I pretty well went through it all, and I don't have any more calls with their hands up. So I'm going to call tonight. All right. All right, everybody, we love you. Thank you for being with us, and see you tomorrow night. Tomorrow is Thursday. Looking forward to it. All right.